aggression is healing your wounds. Suppose that's a low maybe.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. I am Liz Brown. Ooh, we have much, much, much to talk about. Ah, I guess they're softening us up to it. You know, I got a microphone. They soften us up to this. Oh, yeah, we don't expect gas prices to go down anytime soon. Well, I guess not. You're a bunch of greedy so-and-sos that would just as soon steal from your mother as steal from us. They don't expect gas prices to go down anytime soon. Ain't that some stuff? Ain't that some stuff? They don't expect gas prices to go down anytime soon. Ain't that some stuff? So what they're saying is, what they're softening you up to, what they're getting you to feel, as gas prices have gone up, it is now almost as much to buy a gallon of gas as it was after Katrina. You know what they're telling us now? And tell me if you ain't being played. Well, you know, all this talk about the attack against Iran is making the gasoline prices go up. Kiss my grits. Kiss my grits. All of this talk. Who's talking about Iran? The people that don't buy their gas. Ask me if Donald Rumsfeld, when was the last time Donald Rumsfeld put a gallon of gas in his car? He doesn't do that. Do you think George Bush fills it up at a station? The people that are rattling the sabers do not fill their own tanks. All this talk about what's going on in Iraq, huh? We ain't saying nothing. We don't have the sabers to rattle at Iraq. But we the one that are fixing to pay $3 a gallon for gasoline. If that is not the most obscene thing. And tell me again why this administration is working for us. Tell me how they closer to God. I had a conversation yesterday with some folks. I went down to Eternity and was doing my thing at Eternity and ran into some folks that heard about Eternity on the show when we're down there eating. That's always good. But we're talking about religious people and their affixation to George W. Bush, because they are connected to, or they believe that George W. Bush is connected to, somehow connected to God in a way that no other president has in their lifetime been. And I was wondering, and you know, we were just talking about why do they still believe them? And here's what I believe. As I talk through my conversation, as I talk through my conversation with them, here's what I believe. I believe that many people believe as they believe in George W. Bush because they believe the people that are telling them to believe that. They have the relationships with their pastors, and they believe that their pastors are men of God who would not be encouraging them, instructing them in this way if their pastors did not believe this to be so. So they are going on faith, and like it's like faith squared. If my pastor says that it is so, then it must, then I say that George Bush is this. It's faith squared. But here's the rub, as they say. The reason many pastors are putting George Bush next to godliness is because of the god-awful amount of money that George W. Bush is giving these churches access to. Let me be clear. The NAACP ain't the only organization. The St. Louis chapter of the NAACP ain't the only chapter and the only institution, ain't the only group of people that can be bought off for a few pieces of silver. And you know, because this is St. Louis and because this is the NAACP in St. Louis, because it's Harold Crumpton, the C stands for compromised. No, the C stands for completely compromised. They were bought off by asking that a bigot get his job back for two lifetime memberships in the NAACP. Well, for the pastors out there, it costs a little bit more to get them. This ain't chump change. This ain't chicken feed. This ain't pennies on the dollar. These are double dollars on the dollar. What they say on the boat? Double down. Oh, yeah. There is a lot of money that comes along with support of George W. Bush. Faith organizations, so-called faith organizations, have access to so much money. The money train is long. The money train is long. So, as you know, as we try to decipher why folks are folks of faith are still adhering to, are still trying to stand next to, are still standing next to George W. Bush because they believe their leaders. Their leaders tell them that George Bush is a man of faith. And not only do their leaders tell it from that he's a man of faith, but they preach it from the pulpit. As they, you know, their church gets their shiny new things. Their shiny new things. And I have never been one to blindly follow anyone. I am one that I often have faith in people, but when they no longer engage in behavior that caused me to have faith in them, I'm the first person to say, oh no, back up, I was wrong. Rodney Hubbard is case in point. So, you know, I understand the people having faith. But I don't have blind faith in any man. I don't have blind faith in any man. Yeah, except for, you know, my father and my brothers. But that's family. I understand Barbara Bush having blind faith in George Bush, but I don't even think she do, given the dysfunctionality of his family. I don't even think she does. So it's amazing. And when I talk about blind faith, people that close their eyes to things like this. 11 days before George Bush's State of the Union address in 2003, 11 days. Now remember his State of the Union address in 2003. That's the address that got us to where we are now. Tens of thousands of people dead. Babylon with a heliport built on top of it by us. 11 days before George W. Bush told us that, shoveled that to us. Shovel is a technical legal term. Before he shoveled that to us. Now remember, in the State of the Union address, he said that he learned from British intelligence that Iraq had attempted to acquire uranium from Africa. This is the phrase that paved the way to war. 11 days before that, the State Department told the CIA that the intelligence the uranium claims were based upon were forgeries. 11 days. 11 days. 11 days. This is the first piece of hard evidence and the strongest to date that the Bush administration manipulated and ignored intelligence information in their zeal to win public support, huh? Zeal to win? No. And their plan to lie to the American people into war. Now, understand this. They didn't lie to get more health care for you. They didn't lie about the numbers, the budgets to get more health care for you. They didn't lie about the budget to make sure that your pensions, your mama and daddy's pensions, your pensions are safe and sound. They didn't lie to fudge the budget about fixing the school districts or the schools, the crumbling schools all across the country. They didn't lie in any manner, shape, or form to help you. They lied so that we could die. How does that make you feel? How does that make you feel? You know, we've all fallen for the sweet lie. Tell me something now. Tell me you're going to give me some health care. Tell me I'm not going to have to pay for health care anymore. Tell me that I'm covered for every one of my medical ailments. Tell me when I have insurance and I go to the emergency room, I don't have to end up paying $3,000 with insurance. Tell me something. Tell me something sweet. No, baby. I'm a lie to you in order that you all can die. On January 12, 2003, the State Department's Bureau of Intelligence and Research, that's the INR, quote, expressed concerns to the CIA that the documents pertaining to the Iraq-Niger deal were forgeries. The memo was dated July 7, 2003. Moreover, the memo says that the State Department's doubt about the veracity of the uranium claims may have been expressed to the intelligence community even earlier. Those concerns, according to the memo, are the reasons that Colin Powell refused to cite the uranium claims when he appeared before the United Nations in 2003, 1 week after Bush's State of the Union address. Iraq's interest in the yellow cake caught the attention of Mohammed El-Bahardi, the head of the International Atomic Energy Association. El-Bahardi had read a copy of the National Intelligence Estimate and had personally contacted the State Department and National Security Council in hopes of obtaining evidence so his agency could look into it. El-Bahardi sent a letter to the White House in December 2002, warning senior officials he thought the documents were forgeries and should not be cited by the administration as evidence that Iraq was actively trying to obtain weapons of mass destruction. El-Bahardi said he never received a written response to his letter despite repeated follow-up calls he made to the White House. What did Dick Cheney say about El-Bahardi's conclusion that the documents were forged? What did the man who shot his friend in the face and the heart and didn't apologize and didn't think that he needed to tell us jack about it? That's a private matter. When I shoot somebody, that's private. There are a lot of folks in jail would love to be able to hide behind their lawyers on that one. When I shoot somebody, it's private. Huh. What did Cheney say about him? I think Mr. El-Bahardi is frankly wrong. I think he's wrong. Wrong about what? Wrong about his attempts to tell you that he thought that stuff was were forgeries? Because he sure tried to tell you. What's he wrong about? And as it turns out, that Mr. El-Bahardi was right. Because the declassified documents show that he was right. Mm. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. So I'm just wondering. I'm just help me with this, y'all. Help me with this. Faith-based people say that they believe that George W. Bush is a godly man, has a special relationship with God, and should be trusted as a man of faith. And if you read, I mean, I understand having faith in people and letting and allowing some stuff, allowing for some slippage. Okay, he made a mistake here. I'm going to go ahead and back him, but understand that the people who are telling you that George W. Bush is a man of God, the people that are preaching it from the pulpits, are compromised. Because they want that faith, too many of them want that faith-based money. Too many of them want their issue with abortion resolved. Now, they may not be getting money for it, but they're also wanting an issue pushed at the cause or at the expense of everything is almost as bad as getting a check. Either they want their issue pushed or they want their checks. Both types of religious leaders are compromised. The truth of the matter is, you are not safer, you are not better off, and it is not a good thing to be led by and have faith in a leader who lies, and we die as a result of those lies. Whew, I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I'll be back. But she doesn't hear a word that you say. Preoccupied. She's afraid. Afraid what they've been doing's not right. He doesn't know what to say. So praise whatever, 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 whatever happens. Don't let go of my head.
morning, St. Louis, 32 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by TomTom.com. Eastbound 40 at Van Deventer Road construction going on. It's reduced to two lanes, and this work is scheduled through May Memorial Day weekend to repair bridge joints. The right lane and exit lanes at Van Deventer are also closed. Westbound 270 at New Florissant, look for an accident. The left lane is blocked and traffic is slowed back to west of Florissant. Eastbound 44, 141 in Soccer Park, no problems there. Northbound 270 at 44 is looking good. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road to T.R. Hughes, look for no problems reports there. Eastbound 40 from Long Road into Woods Mill is on the move. Westbound 64 at 5570 split looks good. Westbound Martin Luther King Bridge at the Cleeds Landing is on the move. Southbound Illinois Route 3 at the Poplar Street Bridge, northbound Illinois Route 3 at the Poplar Street Bridge. Traffic is building. Westbound 5570 at 3rd Street all the way into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic in the right lane. Eastbound Page at Sarah, those traffic signals are not working, and that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by TomTom.com. TomTom Go is your portable everyday GPS solution. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Partly cloudy, high in the upper 70s today. Partly cloudy through the evening, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms throughout the evening and overnight areas, with a low in the mid-50s. For Wednesday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny throughout the day, high around 70, and Thursday, partly sunny with a high in the lower 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 52 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 54, both under cloudy conditions. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. And first of all, I want to congratulate all of us for the magnificent victory on Election Day with the St. Louis Public School Board. But our work is not done. So come on down to the school board meeting next Tuesday at 7 p.m. at Car Lane Middle School, 1004 North Jefferson. Our work is not done. The children need us. We must attend our school board meetings. I will see you on Tuesday the 18th at 7 p.m. at Car Lane, 1004 North Jefferson.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in weekday afternoons from 2 till 5 on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's take on the day together.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, this is Jenny Peterson. I show up now and then on my favorite radio station, WGNU. I hope you'll be there, too. We'll let you know when I'll be on. Keep listening.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we take our commitment seriously. Our connection to the community is not just providing superior specialty care. Our connection is not just providing world-class urgent care at our Smiley Urgent Care Center. Keeping our connection to the community is something we do every single day. From our free clothes closet for our patients, our breast cancer support group, our nationally recognized celebrity senior program, or the fact that we're home to the Ryan White HIV/AIDS program. Keeping connected to the community matters to Connect Care.
How do you become a hero at work? It's easy. Just drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard. Your friends at AM 920 will draw a new winner every week beginning Friday, March 10th, and deliver a basket of goodies on Monday to the winning workplace. Contest ends May 29th, 2006. No purchase necessary. Employees of WGNE Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. The WGNE Workplace Hero from the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
Wow. Join the Power Hour, Let's Get Busy, hosted by Zaki Baruti at our new hour at 9 p.m. every Thursday night for insightful information and intelligent discussion of the issues of the day. Tune in to the Power Hour, Let's Get Busy. Remember, knowledge is power.
Wednesday morning at 8, we have a hot show planned. It has to do with the recent controversy concerning Georgia Representative Cynthia McKinney. Now, you'd think that the Congressional Black Caucus would have been the first organization to rush to her defense. But no, Chairman Mel Watt is doing all he can to put distance between himself and this issue. Remember when he told Liz on the air it's not fair to judge congresspeople on how they vote on issues? Well, it should be no surprise then how he's reacting, or not reacting. A lively discussion with Liz and journalist Lutitia Stills of BlackCommentator.com Wednesday morning here on The Wake Up Call. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
You wanna know what you're gonna get in? Just a little touch of star quality. It's not the right go too far. It's because of the things you are. Beautiful town, I love you.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. There are people out there that are just as angry as I am about my having to pay what we pay for gasoline. It's an obscenity. And it's made even more of an obscenity when you see that people like the chairman of Exxon stepping down to the tune of $400 million in severance pay. I know. I talked about this yesterday. I can't let it go. $400 million in severance pay. $400 million after he retires from his gig. He's the guy that told us that we're all in this together and refused to go under oath to talk to us about why Exxon made record profits, more profits in the history of any corporation in the world. There are people out there that are saying that, you know, the way to get back at them is obviously, well, people are saying obvious. I disagree with the use of the word obvious. We can't stop buying gas. Yes, we can. We're just too pampered and lazy not to. We want everything. We want to be able to drive our big vehicles with nothing but us in them down to the Quickie Mart down the street instead of getting up off of our pampered behinds and walking down there. Particularly here in the St. Louis Midwest area where public transportation is looked down upon as something that you do when they take away your driver's license and you can't drive anymore. So we are pampered. There is something that we can do. We could change our driving habits drastically and we can stop buying as much gas. But the consensus seems to be that Americans are unwilling to do that. Okay, I gotcha. Well, then how about this? How about not buying any Exxon Mobil gas? There are other gas stations out there. How about not contributing to that greedy piece of work? $400 million severance pay. Obscene profits with an explanation of that's just the way the market does. That's just what the market is bearing. How about that? How about not buying any mobile Exxon gas? Exxon Mobil gas. And buying your gas someplace else. And I just got to say that there has been a lot of competition in the last few years. A lot of competition for who is the greediest son of a gun out there. WorldCom, Enron, Exxon. Does that sound familiar? WorldCom, Enron, Exxon. There's a rhythm to that, isn't there? But I got to say that the winner, you know, and then there's the Dukester. There's the Dukester out there. There is Tom DeLay out there. I mean, there's a lot of competition for the greediest folks out there. And I got to say, the winner has to be this horrible man who would take a $400 million severance or end of service deal. There is nothing that you have done that deserves $400 million. There's nothing you could have done. There's nothing you could have done. Okay, let me say there is. You could have cured cancer. I say pay him $400 million if you cured cancer. Instead, you're ruining people's lives. What you have done is ruining people's lives. What kind of monster would take money? And you know what? Here's my get bet. The guy who cures cancer, the gal who cures cancer, I bet they're not going to ask for $400 million. I bet they're not going to ask for $400 million. Barbara.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Fine. It's obscene. It's terrible.
Yes, it is.
I was going to say that in terms of the gas places where we could consider going other than the ExxonMobil, Citgo is owned by Cesar Chavez.
Tell it.
And so we could just start shopping there, and the gas is fine, and it's reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thought, too.
But any place but Exxon.
Hello.
Any place but Exxon.
Any place but Exxon. You know, in some countries where people only make $300 for the whole year, if he had just gave a few million dollars to help those companies come up to some kind of living standard, but he can't take all that money with him. It's just, it's like you say, it's terrible.
It's obscene.
Obscene.
It is obscene. Let us be clear. Terrible is when you don't get to the movie in time and the movie starts without you. Obscene is what he has done.
That's true.
All right now, Barbara.
Take care.
All right, you too. Don't forget, folks, tonight is a school board meeting at Car Lane. That's right there at Jefferson, on Jefferson. And Olive, right off of Olive, it is. You need to be there tonight. The school board members need your support. The school board members need your help. You need to keep them straight. You need to be there. Your work is not done simply with your vote. Be there tonight. I will see you there tonight. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. We're back up. Streaming's back up. Thank you, Lord. Streaming is back up. So we're at WGNU.net. Get to me.
One always picks the easy fight. One praises fools, one smothers light. One shifts from left to right. Politics, the art of the possible.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Washington. The Bush administration has announced plans to slash federal funding for the National Park Service by about one-third over the next 5 years. Each park in the system has been told to develop budgets based on a 30% reduction in federal dollars. In addition, park administrators are also being told to make recommendations as to which programs can be eliminated so they can operate with less money, and how much park fees will have to be increased to take up the slack. The idea to reduce funding was developed before the 2004 election took place, but park officials were told not to talk about any proposed cutbacks so it wouldn't become a campaign issue. And Dateline Chicago. Former Illinois Governor George Ryan has been found guilty of racketeering and corruption charges. The 72-year-old former governor could be sentenced to prison for up to 20 years. Prosecutors say he managed to direct as much as $25 million worth of state business to friends and political cronies, and in return, he received hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of compensation. Everything from free vacations in places like Jamaica and Cancun to free loans for his brother's business. Ryan's fall was fast and hard, though. It was just a few short years ago that he was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize because of his commutation of the death sentences of prisoners in the state of Illinois due to flaws in the capital punishment system. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Good morning, this is Liz Brown, and first of all I want to congratulate all of us for the magnificent victory on Election Day with the St. Louis Public School Board. But our work is not done, so come on down to the school board meeting next Tuesday at 7 p.m. at Car Lane Middle School, 1004 North Jefferson. Our work is not done. The children need us. We must attend our school board meetings. I will see you on Tuesday the 18th at 7 p.m. at Car Lane, 1004 North Jefferson.
Hey, this is Kelvin Sims of Kelvin's Corner here at WGNU Radio. People are always asking me, where are you? Where have you been? Are you still on the air? The answer to that question is, Mr. Click and I are here each and every Friday at 10 p.m. Tune in and we'll talk about any and everything. As always, I will do my best to be fair. Again, that's Friday nights at 10 p.m. here at WGNU Radio Free St. Louis. And remember to be fair, because life isn't.
Hi, I'm Laurie Fulkerson. Join me every Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock on AM 920 WGNU. You'll hear stories of people who are just like you that are overcoming obstacles and making the difference in lives of others. And you're invited to share your thoughts. You know, people are what matter most to me, and I enjoy talking with you and helping you reach your highest goals. Join me for the Laurie Fulkerson Show Wednesday mornings at 10 on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss what matters most to you.
The recent hailstorm may have caused damage to your roof, but beware. When these types of events happen, people called storm chasers appear out of the blue and offer to do the work, but then disappear with your money and only half do the job. Phil Person of Phil Person Roofing reminds you he will be here to serve you long after the storm chasers have come and gone. Person Roofing is a licensed and certified contractor specializing in roof replacements and repairs, and replaces from 200 to 400 roofs a year. Phil Person Roofing, in business 16 years, 361-7127.
If you like handmade arts and crafts, you'll love the St. Clair Arts and Crafts Fair. Come on out to St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights, Friday, April 21st through Sunday, April 23rd. Stroll through the aisles. Discover fine handcrafted jewelry, framed works of art, clothing, quilts, candles, gourmet snacks, home decor, and so much more. Delightful and unusual gifts all in one place, all in one stop. Register to win one of dozens of prizes to be given away throughout the weekend, including a $1,000 online shopping spree from MyFreeGifts.com. It's one of the first craft events of the year and one of the easiest ways to see and buy from many of the area's finest artisans and crafters. All this from 10 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Friday and Saturday, April 21st and 22nd, and noon to 6 Sunday, April 23rd. The St. Clair Arts and Crafts Fair, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights, sponsored by Night Magic Entertainment and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more information at spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
Wednesday morning at 8, we have a hot show planned. It has to do with the recent controversy concerning Georgia Representative Cynthia McKinney. Now, you'd think that the Congressional Black Caucus would have been the first organization to rush to her defense. But no, Chairman Mel Watt is doing all he can to put distance between himself and this issue. Remember when he told Liz on the air it's not fair to judge Congress people on how they vote on issues? Well, it should be no surprise then how he's reacting, or not reacting. a lively discussion with Liz and journalist Lutitia Stills of BlackCommentator.com Wednesday morning here on The Wake Up Call.
Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920. GN.
I wonder why I even try. Well, I try because I like to finish what I start, and I have faith it can get better tomorrow. But it won't if you keep treating me like I'm invisible.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call, 1-877-920-WGNU. Oh my goodness, we have a lot of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Remember this 10 years ago? Remember Steve Forbes when he ran for president? He said that he was going to make a simple change in the federal income tax. Instead of people paying people with more paying higher rates, all would pay the same with a flat tax. Remember that? Whether you made $50 million a year or $5,000 a year. Flat tax, and that would allow for, and I quote, fantastic growth waiting to burst forth in our economy, huh? Steve Forbes, his prediction of flat base taxes turned out to be true. Check this out. You are paying the same, middle class folks are paying the same rate as those that are making $400 million in severance pay. Did you know that? Last year, the typical corporate chief executive made 279 times the average pay of the non-supervisory production worker. That is the second highest in 40 years. It was up from 229 in 2004 and 185 in 2003. Now, check this out. The wealthy usually send more dollars to Uncle Sam than middle-income taxpayers do because their rates are applied to a bigger income. But their share of their income that goes to Washington, D.C. is not much bigger. Oh, yeah, they send more because they have more. But they pay the same rate as you do. If you make less than $10,000 a year, you are paying 2.3%. If you make $15,000 a year, $50,000 a year, you're paying 15.8%. If you make $100,000 a year, you're paying 20%. If you make $200,000 a year, you're paying 21%. If you make over $1 million a year, you're paying 22%. Now, if you make $100,000 a year, you're paying almost the same tax rate as people that are making hundreds of millions of dollars a year. Does that seem right to you? There's not a whole lot of difference between people that are making $50,000 a year. If you earn $50,000 to $75,000 a year, you would be paying 17.4%. If you make over $1 million a year, you're only paying 22%. Three cheers for the red, white, and blue. Oh, and by the way, what happened to this economic boom that was going to happen now that we're paying, or if we were to pay a flat tax? It's out there, right, baby? You got no problem paying $3 a gallon for gas because money's coming out your ears and every other orifice of your body, right? Right? It's all good, baby, right? Go to the GM plant. Ask them folks at Ford. How's it hanging? Economic boom, baby! I know you got to be feeling it. Joyce.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I have a question for you. I have a friend of mine. We were talking at work, and, you know, during the recent storm, he lost his roof. And he said he went to the Red Cross to ask for help and get his roof replaced. And he said that they told him that they didn't help with things like that, and if it had been a fire or something, then they probably could help them. My question is, why were we giving money to, you know, the Red Cross during the Katrina hurricane disaster if they didn't help with those kind of types of...
I think people are woefully misinformed about what the Red Cross does.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are woefully misinformed because they have the best PR campaign in the history of PR.
Right.
I think that people do not understand what the limitations of the Red Cross, what their limitations are, and I think that the fact that we don't understand or don't know them is intentional on their part. They pull at your heartstrings, they let you believe that they can do everything and that they're doing everything for people, but they're not. They're absolutely not.
I don't know. I'm going to tell you, I don't think I'm going to ever give any money to them anymore because I would think that
you're not alone.
We're in need like that, you know, with the millions and millions of dollars you got during Hurricane Katrina, you should be able to help people.
Well, they didn't help people they didn't help people the way that they needed to be helped during Katrina.
Well, that's true.
And they paid their executive close to these types of obscene money amounts. So I think that it should be a lesson to us that we need to be wise about where we give our money.
That's true.
Okay?
Okay, thanks, Liz.
All right. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, wake up call. Don't forget, school board meeting is tonight at 7 o'clock at Carr Lane. Be there, 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 be there. Our work is not done simply because we won a magnificent victory, a victory against all odds. We won it, but our work is not done. You need to be at the school board to support your school board members, to make sure that things are done the way that you need. Don't just let it go. It ain't over. Because trust me, they still want the money. Be there tonight.
Very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot, was killed tonight. Remember?
Say the progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that you know that the little maybe.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The air of the brother.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Atlantic City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. Maybe it was the hour. It was well before dawn. For whatever reason, two Duke University students didn't have too much to say to reporters as they walked into the Durham, North Carolina Police Department handcuffed. More from ABC's Aaron Katursky in Durham.
The two Duke University lacrosse players indicted here in connection with the alleged sexual assault of a stripper have been charged with first-degree rape, first-degree sexual assault, and kidnapping. Sophomores Reed Seligman of New Jersey and Colin Finnerty of New York showed up at the jail in the back of a police car and in handcuffs. This Duke student is reserving judgment.
Charges don't necessitate guilt, so it's still innocent until proven guilty.
Defense attorneys say two young men have been charged with crimes they did not commit. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, Durham, North Carolina.
Seligman is out on bail. Finnerty's attorney has yet to show up, and this could just be the beginning of a very long legal process.
They'll be arraigned in Superior Court. That will be in about 2 weeks. And then there will be a series of motions and hearings about those motions that their lawyers will bring on their behalf. And it could take as long as a year before this case goes to trial.
ABC News legal analyst Ellen Davis.
I think it's crazy. I mean, the average person can't afford gas prices as it is.
That Washington driver says she's had it with the ever-rising price of gas, and thanks to a new record high for oil prices, they could go even higher. Right now, it's about $2.78 a gallon. The rumblings are still coming out of the White House.
The White House staff comes to work today knowing that changes are afoot. The new chief of staff, Josh Bolton, says he wants a staple team through this year. So anyone thinking of leaving should tell him now. President Bush personally declared Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld should remain on the job. And he took Treasury Secretary John Snow with him for an economic event. Usually, that's a sign of support. And Compton, ABC News, the White House.
This is ABC News.
This new Medicare business is pretty confusing to me. I was in Walmart the other day and asked the pharmacist about it. She told me Walmart and Sam's Club pharmacies accept all Medicare plans. I just showed her my Medicare prescription drug card, and she filled all of my prescriptions. No hassle, no problem. It was just that easy. I've got better things to do than deal with confusing prescription details, so from here on in, I'm going to Walmart or Sam's Club pharmacy for my Medicare prescriptions.
Having a safe place to sleep is a universal need. Having a safe way to sleep should be just as important. When used as directed, Tylenol PM is a safe, non-habit-forming way to relieve pain with sleeplessness. In fact, no other OTC pain reliever is safer than Tylenol. Stop. Think. Tylenol PM. Take only as directed.
This is a sad anniversary. 100 years ago today, San Francisco residents were shaken awake by a killer earthquake. It was followed by days of fire and looting. And it begs the question, how much have we learned from it? Here's ABC's Alex Stone.
In 1906, more than 3,000 people died and 28,000 buildings crumbled. If the same earthquake struck today, seismologists say more people would die and 90,000 buildings would be destroyed.
Our population in Northern California has increased tenfold.
Seismologist Tom Brocher is meeting with his colleagues at a conference in San Francisco this week. He says the biggest concern is the aftermath, much like the chaos in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Maybe another hot day without AC in parts of Texas. Power officials are calling for more rolling blackouts. The Public Utility Commission's Terry Hadley says they really didn't have any other choice.
Very hot temperatures, higher than normal. So that has created a higher demand.
Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Franzmeyer with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, a House Springs woman is hospitalized in critical condition after police say her husband shot her and then killed himself. Around 6:15 last night, Jefferson County Sheriff's deputies went to a home in the 5100 block of Dover where the 46-year-old woman had been shot. Her 51-year-old husband took his own life shortly after deputies arrived. The names of the victims are not being released. A former Melville School District employee faces child porn charges. Thomas Mantle worked in the Information Technology Department for the Melville Schools, but was fired after a police investigation got underway in February. Mantle was charged with several counts of child pornography for allegedly using his office computer to send explicit images to someone he thought was a teenager. Finally this hour, supporters of workers' rights at Washington University say more work needs to be done. Students, workers, and community allies celebrated the first anniversary yesterday of their sit-in at the university, which called for better wages and benefits for service workers. Michael Vossler, a member of the Workers' Rights Board, says those workers still aren't being paid enough.
The university teaches economics in the classroom and by virtue of its community. It's saying to students, it's all right for these workers to be earning this kind of low wage. And the students are saying, it's not all right. Washington University is capable of better and greater things.
A panel of community leaders released a report yesterday on the progress in the year since the sit-in. The report shows that some progress has been made, including raising the floor of worker wages and providing better access to health care and transportation. The report also makes recommendations to Washington University, including further raising pay and recognizing more forms of worker organization. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by TomTom. TomTomGo is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We will look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Midas. Trust the Midas touch. Eastbound 40 at Vandeventer, there's road construction reducing two lanes, and this work is round the clock through Memorial Day weekend to repair bridge joints. The right lane and exit lanes of Vandeventer are also closed. Westbound 270 at West Florissant and New Florissant. Look for slow traffic due to an earlier accident. Eastbound 44 from Lewis to Merrimack River Bridge. Look for no problems to report there. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road and 79. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from Boone's Crossing to Mason looks good. Northbound 270 is stop and go on either side of Tesson Ferry. Northbound 270 at 55 and Tesson Ferry. There's a disabled bus in the right shoulder, which is probably causing the slowdown on either side of Tesson Ferry. Westbound 64 at Bowell Avenue, look for traffic congestion. Westbound Martin Luther King Bridge traffic at the Illinois Bank, look for slow traffic there. Northbound Illinois Route 3 at the 8th Street, look for traffic building there. And westbound 5570 at the Exchange and Poplar Street Bridge, look for slow traffic in the right lane. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Midas. Trust the Midas touch. What's the most important safety feature on your car? Midas believes it's the person who does your brakes. Don't trust your brakes to just anyone. Trust America's leader in brakes. Trust the Midas touch. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Partly cloudy today, high in the upper 70s. This evening, partly cloudy in the evening, becoming mostly cloudy throughout the evening and overnight hours with a chance for showers and thunderstorms, low in the mid-50s. For Wednesday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny by the afternoon, a high around 70. And Thursday, partly sunny with a high in the lower 70s. Currently, the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clouds and 52 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting clouds and 54 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. And first of all, I want to congratulate all of us for the magnificent victory on Election Day with the St. Louis Public School Board. But our work is not done. So come on down to the school board meeting next Tuesday at 7 p.m. at Car Lane Middle School, 1004 North Jefferson. Our work is not done. The children need us. We must attend our school board meetings. I will see you on Tuesday the 18th at 7 p.m. at Car Lane, 1004 North Jefferson.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress has been made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, there's no progress. The progress is healing the wound that the blow that the world made.
The hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
struggled against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equality.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown. The number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. Please don't forget that we are streamed at WGNU.net. Also, you can iPod me at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Also, my show is archived at WhiteRoseSociety.org. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up, get up. Get to me. I remember reading a story somewhere some years ago about Princess Di, that one of her big causes prior to her death, violently, ironically, one of her causes was that of landmines, all of these countries where war has been inflicted upon people. The aftermath of war is not only death and destruction, but the aftermath oftentimes, and tragically, are the mines that are left underneath the ground that continue to wreak havoc and death and tragedy long after the bullets and the guns have been put away. Can't see them, but they're out there. And you don't know that they're there until you're standing on top of them and you explode. It feels like, just imagine living in that world where knowing that, you know, you could be out somewhere, walk somewhere, stand on something, and it explodes. Imagine how cautiously you would live your life if your the possibility of entering landmines was a daily thing. Well, I feel like we're living in a world of landmines, despite the fact that I live in St. Louis, Missouri. I feel like there are landmines all around us, and one of the landmines that's out there, if you understand that our connection to the world is a global connection, you have to feel the landmines that are there. What is going on with the Palestinian people? What is going on with Hamas? What is going on with Israel? What is going on with Iran? What is going on? Landmines. Feels that we are on the verge of implosion. And not from meteors or not from earthquakes. Not from natural disasters. But from man-made things and man-made acts. I truly, truly mourn for the Palestinian people. It feels so out of control sometimes here with Exxon executives getting $300 or $400 million severance packages and us paying almost $3 a gallon for gas. That's out of control. That gives you sometimes a sense of helplessness. But it ain't nothing like what the Palestinian people are feeling as the world is shutting each and every door
because they engage in a democratic process and elected someone who the world, many in the world, don't like. Well, that's democracy. More than half of America don't like George W. Bush either. We need to talk about what is happening as a result. The landmines that have been buried close to the surface. After the democratic election, free, fair, and democratic election of the Hamas. Our government is saying no to folks, and we need to talk about the things that our good government is doing as a result of a free, fair, and democratic election. We need to talk about a human rights attorney. And the founder and the director of the Palestinian Center for Human Rights and the former director of the Gaza Center for Rights and Law. We need to talk about whether someone like that can speak to us here in America about what's going on over there with the Palestinian people. To facilitate that conversation, I have Mark Fancher. He is the International Affairs Section Chairman for the National Conference of Black Lawyers. He is joining us from Ypsilanti, Michigan. Mark, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you.
Very good. And it's good to have you here. Mark, it truly feels that things are getting ready to explode. Explode with the Palestinian people, explode in Israel, explode. And it feels like our government and our country is contributing to that.
Yes, our government is really responsible for much of it. And the sad part of it is that from our vantage point, it does look like it's about to explode, but in the lives of everyday Palestinian people, the explosions are a daily occurrence.
Mm.
In many cases, literally, because the Israeli military will, in some cases, blow up entire homes filled with civilians.
And children.
Yes.
So talk to us about Rajeh Sorani.
That's correct.
Okay, talk to us about him.
Yes, Mr. Sorani is known globally as one of the greatest champions for human rights and for the rights of Palestinian people. He's a lawyer, and for years he has been putting his body on the line for the rights of his people. On numerous occasions, he has been arrested, detained, endured unspeakable kinds of treatment at the hands of the Israeli government. And it has extended as well to his family and those around him, but he has persevered. And probably one of the more remarkable things about Mr. Sorani is that notwithstanding much of the violence which has been directed at his people, he has continued to maintain and pursue a nonviolent course, even to the extent of developing very productive relationships with Israeli human rights lawyers. And, in recent times, because of changes in the Israeli government, even that avenue of communication as between Israeli human rights lawyers and Hess and Mr. Sorani and other Palestinian human rights lawyers has been cut off. So this most recent incident is the latest in continuing isolation of a voice, a very knowledgeable and wise voice, someone who could make a real contribution to a breakthrough in that region of the world.
So he wanted to come to the United States.
That's correct, and it's not just that he was interested in coming. He was invited to come by the White House, by the State Department, by the Heritage Foundation, and anyone who knows anything about the Heritage Foundation knows that they are an institution which, by any measure, has no interest in the rights of Palestinian people, and by a very diverse group of individuals and organizations. He had a full itinerary of meetings which had been scheduled through official channels, and he was prepared to come and to meet and to have productive dialogue about the situation in Palestine with all of these groups and individuals, and he was denied a visa by the U.S.
Wait a minute. The White House and the State Department, they're the U.S., right?
That's correct.
They certainly could have weighed in on this, couldn't they?
Well, they certainly could have, and in fact, they did weigh in on it, but in a way that was, by all appearances, intended to sabotage the visit.
Explain.
Because what they did is, as part of the visa application process, they required that, in addition to all the other paperwork that one would normally complete in order to get a visa, that Mr. Sirani go to the Israeli police and get a certificate from them which declared that he was not a terror threat. And, you know, it's obvious that, you know, Mr. Sirani, who is a citizen of Palestine, and who, by any measure, you know, would be regarded by the Israeli police as an enemy, is not an individual who the Israeli police are going to say, yes, we're going to facilitate your travel to the United States so that you can speak against the Israeli government. And so it was intended to fail. I mean, there was no way that he was going to be able to get that type of authorization from the Israeli officials.
Well, and I've traveled abroad. I've had to get visas from other countries. Is this something new that an individual has to get clearance from a police facility of some sort that they are not a terrorist before they can get a visa? Is that something that is done in other places?
Well, I don't know how uniformly this requirement is applied, but according to the State Department, and they've avoided this issue whenever they've been asked about it, but they imply that this is a post 9/11 security measure that they have put into effect, so that when they have someone coming to the United States, they can assure that this person is not a terrorist.
Do we know, Mark, that this has been applied in the case of anybody else trying to get into America?
That information I don't have, but we certainly know that it was applied in Mr. Sirani's case. And, you know, the big question, the elephant in the room is, if there was any suspicion that Mr. Sirani posed some type of security threat, why would the White House and the State Department invite him in the first place? I mean, is that the type of person that, according to their politics, that they would want to have discussions with anyway? So
why did they invite him?
Well, you know, that just becomes a matter of speculation. And, you know, I guess as good a guess as any is that it was done for propaganda value, that they would like to be seen as making attempts to engage in some type of dialogue with those who represent the Palestinian cause, but at the same time not having any genuine interest in having that type of discussion at all. So this, conceivably could have been a way for them to say, well, we tried, but we couldn't because this individual did not get security clearance.
And what is the ramification of Mr. Sirani not being allowed to come to the United States? What have we lost out on?
Oh, we've lost a great deal because, as I mentioned earlier, he is an individual who has analyzed this from the standpoint of someone who is attempting to make progress in that region through democratic means, through nonviolent means. And what it does is it sends a signal to, certainly the Palestinians that the United States could care less about their plight, and it sends a signal to the world that anything that anybody does in order to resist the efforts by the Israelis or the United States to oppress or impose their will on the Palestinian population, anything is justified. So if the interest of the United States is to minimize the incidence of violence and to encourage a more peaceful route, they have done just the opposite. I mean, it has pushed people into a position where, they don't want to talk to us, they don't want to negotiate with us, they don't want to hear from those of us who have, a legitimate and an informed analysis. The only thing left for us to do is to pick up the gun.
But, and Mark, doesn't it also say something else? Doesn't it say that the United States views every Palestinian person as an enemy?
It does.
And doesn't it say to the world that every Palestinian person is a terrorist.
It does. It effectively says that. And it speaks volumes to, you know, the Palestinian children who are on the streets and who see the Israeli military, you know, conducting raids and torturing people and killing people in front of their eyes. And when they start to look at what their options are in terms of how to resist this type of oppression, it becomes pretty clear which course they should and must take.
Well, it also says that there is only if you're looking at this, if you're looking at the manner of man that Mr. Serrani is, he's an attorney. He is nonviolent. He is world renowned in his analytical skills and his and information that he has to provide about what is happening to the Palestinian people. If someone like that is viewed as a terrorist until proven otherwise, what chance does a Palestinian child have to not be viewed as a terrorist? And then what option do they take? What options do they have to them if that's how the world views someone like this?
I think that's exactly correct. And it has implications worldwide. I think, you know, one of the great errors that, you know, European capitalism has made primarily, is that imperialism is something that's incidental, and that it's something that, you know, can be engaged in without any real continuing consequences, that it's discrete, that it can be managed, that it can be held back. But, you know, for those of us who are connected in some way with indigenous populations who have had their land taken, who have been occupied, who have seen war in an effort to take away land rights and sovereignty and those kinds of things, it's apparent to us that, you know, this resistance is perpetual, that it's not something that's discrete, it's not something that's limited. You know, no matter how much terror is inflicted upon an occupied population, the resistance is going to continue. And, you know, if there is a belief within State Department circles that if they terrorize the Palestinians enough, that if they isolate them enough, that eventually they will just sort of
capitulate,
themselves whipped, and they will crawl off into a corner and surrender, they're completely wrong.
Well, that's
and
not the court. That's not how human nature has ever responded.
It absolutely is not, even on an individual level, because if I were to begin to twist your arm, even if physically I'm stronger and larger than you, if I'm twisting your arm because you're suffering, you're not going to cease your resistance until you ease that pain. You have no alternative. You're not going to sit there and just suffer. You're going to fight and fight and fight until you either have vanquished me or I have vanquished you. Those are the only options available to a suffering person. And for an entire nation of people who have been occupied for so long, and who, you know, in the face of international law, continue to suffer this oppression, resistance is their only course. And if the objective is to bring about some type of peaceful resolution in Palestine, this certainly is not the way to do it.
I am talking to Mark Fancher, International Affairs Section Chairman for the National Conference of Black Lawyers. He is joining us from Ypsilanti, Michigan. I am Liz Brown, and this is the wake-up call. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. We'll take a few of your calls when we come back after this break. Stay with us.
Too late to you. Remember when I moved in you, the holy dark was moving too. And every
need cash today? Visit mouthcash.com without delay.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. Wednesday morning at 8, we have a hot show planned. It has to do with the recent controversy concerning Georgia Representative Cynthia McKinney. Now, you'd think that the Congressional Black Caucus would have been the first organization to rush to her defense. But no, Chairman Mel Watt is doing all he can to put distance between himself and this issue. Remember when he told Liz on the air it's not fair to judge congresspeople on how they vote on issues? Well, it should be no surprise then how he's reacting, or not reacting. A lively discussion with Liz and journalist Lutitia Stills of BlackCommentator.com Wednesday morning here on The Wake Up Call.
Check out a book signing by St. Louis Zoo President Dr. Jeffrey P. Bonner, author of Sailing with Noah, on Saturday from 2 to 4. It takes place at the Zootique Gift Shop in the Living World. For more information, call 314-781-0900 or visit stlzoo.org. News to you from Radio Free St. Louis.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Don't forget, MELSCASH.com.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and whether this hour's traffic is sponsored by Account Temps. Eastbound 40 at Van Deventer's road construction is reduced to two lanes, and work is scheduled through Memorial Day weekend to repair bridge joints, and the right lane is closed on the exit to Van Deventer as well as, and traffic is backed up through Kings Highway. Northbound 270 at 50 north of 55, a minor accident involving a school bus in the right lane is blocked. Traffic is slow coming off of 55. Eastbound 44 from Antire to Watson looks good. Northbound 270 at 55 and Big Bend looks for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 70 from Bryan to 79 looks for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from 141 into Mason Road look for heavy volume going on there. Westbound 270 at 367 and West Florissant stop-and-go traffic due to an earlier accident. Westbound 64 at Powell Avenue look for no problems to report there. Westbound Martin Luther King Bridge traffic at the Illinois Bank look for slow traffic in the left lane. And also northbound Route 3 at 8th Street, look for traffic building there. Westbound 5570 at 64 in the PSB, slow traffic in the right lane. Northbound Telegraph at 255, look for an accident on the right shoulder. And Highway U at Highway J, an injury accident that's down in Lincoln County. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Account Temps, providing highly skilled financial temporary professionals for over 58 years. Call or visit them today, accounttemps.com. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday for today. Partly cloudy, high in the upper 70s this evening. Partly cloudy throughout the evening, becoming mostly cloudy overnight. Chance for showers and thunderstorms likely after midnight with a low in the mid-50s. Then on Wednesday, mostly cloudy in the morning. Partly sunny throughout the day with a high around 70. And Thursday, partly sunny with a high in the lower 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 52 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 54. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Need cash today? Visit mouthcash.com without delay.
Who's the hero where you work? The receptionist that can balance 12 things at once? The whiz kid that can change a toner cartridge without making a mess? The assistant that finds everything you misplace? Well, now it's your turn. All you have to do is drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard, and you could be the next WGNU Workplace Hero. We'll draw a new winner every week beginning Friday, March 10th, and you'll be the hero of your workplace on Monday when we deliver a basket full of assorted goodies from Great Harvest Bread, Thomas Premium Blend Coffee, and WGNU Radio. Contest ends May 29th, 2006. Employees of WGNU Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. So go ahead, be a hero. Visit the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store at 9449 Olive Boulevard. Leave a business card and that's it. You could be the next WGNU Workplace Hero. Sponsored by the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays at 12 noon for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. I learned at an early age that animals matter to me. That's why I founded Stray Rescue of St. Louis in 1991. I'll share my experiences, let you share your stories, and we'll discuss the issues that matter most to you when it comes to your companion animals. Dogs, cats, you name it. From behavior problems to breed-specific laws, From spaying and neutering your pet to keeping your friends safe and healthy, you'll hear from pet care experts, you'll enjoy our special guests as they share their tales and answer your questions, all on aspects of animal care. It's an hour of fur, friends, and fun every week. Join me, Randy Graham of Stray Rescue St. Louis, as we share animal tales every Friday at 12 noon, right here on AM 920 WGNU, the station that discusses the issues that matter most to you and your animal companions. Woof.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. And first of all, I want to congratulate all of us for the magnificent victory on Election Day with the St. Louis Public School Board. But our work is not done. So come on down to the school board meeting next Tuesday at 7 p.m. at Car Lane Middle School, 1004 North Jefferson. Our work is not done. The children need us. We must attend our school board meetings. I will see you on Tuesday the 18th at 7 p.m. at Car Lane, 1004 North Jefferson.
Don't forget, MELSCASH.com.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Makeup Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. We are streamed at WGNU.net. The Liz Brown Wake Up Call is archived at WhiteRoseSociety.org. And my email is revolution@LizBrown.com. We are having a discussion about the United States denial of a visa to, one could call Gaza's foremost human rights lawyer, the founder and director of the Palestinian Center for Human Rights and former director of the Gaza Center for Rights and Law, Rajay Sarani. We are talking to the International Affairs Section Chairman for the National Conference of Black Lawyers, Mark Fancher. He's joining us from Ypsilanti, Michigan. And Mark, welcome back.
Thank you.
Let's get to a couple of callers. Dimitri, good morning. You have a question for our guest, Mark Fancher.
I do, Liz. Thank you for taking my call. Mr. Sanchez, the incident you're describing exposes something that's rather frightening to, I guess, every American, and that is that Jewish police have final authority over American interests and decisions. And it seems like this is done with a sense of impunity, and it goes without question. It is unacceptable, as far as I'm concerned. It's the tail wagging the dog. But my question to you, Mr. Sanchez, does this authority also extend to the way the war in Iraq is being handled?
And that's Fancher.
Sanchez, I'm sorry. I wonder if this authority is exercised in the way the war is conducted in Iraq.
Thank you, Dimitri.
Well, as a legal matter, I don't know, but I certainly think that it reflects a prevailing arrogance in the Bush administration. There is just a total disregard for any type of standard protocols or for law or for international conventions or for even domestic law. And this is typical of it. They really prefer to just sort of make things up as they go along in order to meet whatever objectives they may have. And I think that extends not only to the war in Iraq, but also to things like the domestic spying issue, which we're dealing with right now. The law is very clear on what they could and could not do in terms of domestic surveillance. And, Bush just simply said, I don't care. I'm going to do it the way I want to do it.
My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. Let me get to one or two more calls here. Tim, do you have a question for our guest, Mark Fancher?
Yes, I do. Thank you. The person you're speaking of who was denied the visa, has he
I believe, the key to peace in Israel. We, you know, we talk about the bulldozing of the houses and that, but these are always precluded by a suicide bombing or else a rocket attack from the Palestinian people. Does he urge people to stop doing these acts? And that's my question. Thanks.
Can we address a couple of things that Tim said prior to before you answer the question specifically about Mr. Serrani? The caller made the comment that whenever houses are bulldozed and whenever Palestinian homes are bulldozed, whenever Palestinian children are killed, whenever Palestinians are assaulted, it is always precluded by an act of violence by a Palestinian person, and I presume he meant directed at Israel. Is that accurate?
I don't think so. I mean, and it's always a matter of perspective. You know, the very act of defying international law is an act of violence. Back in 1967, the State of Israel began to establish settlements and colonies in territory that the United Nations said they could not, they were not allowed to do that. You know, the United Nations resolved that this was illegal and that they should withdraw. And there has been a stubborn, arrogant refusal to withdraw, you know, for all of those years. And so that kind of thing, when it's accompanied by violence, really is a declaration of war on a population. And so when that occupied population engages in acts of resistance, you know, it really depends upon the perspective of the observer as to whether these individuals are engaging in acts of terror or whether they're defending their very lives and their very nation by engaging in these acts.
Has Israel been asked to denounce their acts of defiance and lawlessness against that they're actually doing? Have they been asked to denounce them?
The world has asked them to do that, but the United States, you know, if it has done it, it has certainly been disingenuous enough that they have gotten the message and understood that really the United States stands with them in pretty much anything that they choose to do.
Now, the caller also raised the question of whether or not Mr. Serrani has denounced acts of violence. And I guess I need to add something to that question before you answer that. Is that a standard for a visa being granted upon invitation issued by the United States, by the United States government?
Oh, it certainly should not be, and it isn't. I mean, that's like asking you or me to say that there are no pink elephants or something like that. I mean, if this man has demonstrated no inclinations toward violence, he has in anything that he has done has not suggested in any way that he is in any way promoting this kind of thing or doing it, then why must he be asked to denounce it?
Standard that is not applied to anybody else. It's a standard that is not logical given what this person's life has been all about, and it feels specifically done to get at the Palestinian people.
That's correct. And if they're going to do that, then I would like for them, the next time that Tony Blair chooses to come to the United States, to demand that he denounce violence, specifically the violence in Iraq.
Don't we have somebody, what's the name of that country that's visiting us right now? China. Has he's in Seattle right now. Was there a demand that he denounce violence prior to his visa being issued?
Yeah, certainly not. I mean, because it's just illogical. And
it's a stand. And as a person of African descent, it feels like a poll tax. It feels like one of those special rules that are designed to get at you because of the color of your skin, your ethnicity, or your heritage.
Yes, and you can see it, you know, in our situation as well. I mean, every time that Louis Farrakhan says something that, you know, the white population perceives to be somewhat threatening or intimidating, then all of a sudden there's a panic and everyone runs around to every black leader asking them to renounce and denounce Louis Farrakhan, when these leaders may never have even suggested anything which suggests that they, you know, accept, embrace, or agree with it.
Pat Robertson said, kill Hugo Chavez. We didn't get a litany of individuals all across the white individuals denouncing that left and right.
That's right.
and we need to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. I am talking to the International Affairs Section Chairman for the National Conference of Black Lawyers. He is joining us from Ypsilanti, Michigan. We are talking about the denial of a visa to a Palestinian, in fact, Gaza's foremost human rights lawyer and founder and director of the Palestinian Center for Human Rights and former director of the Gaza Center for Rights and Law, Raja Sorani. My name is Liz Brown. We will talk more about this after we take our break. Stay with me.
Like butterfly, I'm sting like a hornet. They won't let me have it, not even here. No one else wants it. If I try to take it, they won't break me down and strip me naked. They write a brand new rule and break it. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they fake it. But I'ma make it, Lord, I can take it. I'ma cut the drama, boy, save it for your mama. I'm not.
Need cash today? Visit mouthcash.com without delay.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap. Weekday afternoons, immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
How do you become a hero at work? It's easy. Just drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard. Your friends at AM 920 will draw a new winner every week beginning Friday, March 10th, and deliver a basket of goodies on Monday to the winning workplace. Contest ends May 29th, 2006. No purchase necessary. Employees of WGNE Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. The WGNE Workplace Hero from the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Don't forget, MelsCash.com.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Baghdad. After a session of parliament was canceled, sectarian violence flared out of control yesterday in Baghdad. 12 bullet-riddled bodies were found in the troubled Dura neighborhood, 3 more were located in the Al-Shuala district, and 2 others were found in the Shiite Qadamiyah neighborhood. Since the bombing of that Shiite shrine in Samarra in mid-February, hundreds of bodies have been found across the country. The parliamentary session was canceled after a dispute over who would lead the next government could not be ended. Kurds and Sunnis will not accept Shiite Ibrahim Jafari for prime minister, and the Shiites will not accept those nominated by the Sunnis. Since parliamentary elections took place in December, the 275 members have only met officially one time. It was also reported that at least 50 insurgents attacked Iraqi troops in Baghdad yesterday in the Sunni district just to the north. The ensuing battle lasted several hours, and U.S. troops had to help the Iraqis put down the attack. Meanwhile, other attacks also took place in Ramadi, which is just west of Baghdad. And Dateline San Francisco. The lawsuit currently underway against AT&T for violating the privacy of customers by allowing the government to spy on their communications is revealing a massive snooping operation by the federal government. Former company technician Mark Klein gave documents to the New York Times that described equipment with the capability of monitoring large amounts of email messages, internet phone calls, and other types of internet communications. The sophisticated software picks out messages for scrutiny when it hears keywords or phrases or internet or email addresses that are suspect. It then transfers those communications to another location for more intense scrutiny. All documents show that AT&T got into bed with the federal government to gather information that flowed through the company's network. Mr. Klein said the monitoring took place at an AT&T facility in San Francisco, but he also learned of another location in Atlanta. These installations had switches built into them that passed all data and phone calls into the monitoring facility that allowed the National Security Agency to listen to everything. The documents have been sealed by the court hearings in the case. AT&T has filed a motion to get those documents back, saying they contain private company information that should not be made public. This is your wake-up call Global News Update.
Need cash today? Visit mouthcash.com without delay.
If you like handmade arts and crafts, you'll love the St. Clair Arts and Crafts Fair. Come on out to St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights, Friday, April 21st through Sunday, April 23rd. Stroll through the aisles. Discover fine handcrafted jewelry, framed works of art, clothing, quilts, candles, gourmet snacks, home decor, and so much more. Delightful and unusual gifts all in one place, all in one stop. Register to win one of dozens of prizes to be given away throughout the weekend, including a $1,000 online shopping spree from MyFreeGifts.com. It's one of the first craft events of the year and one of the easiest ways to see and buy from many of the area's finest artisans and crafters. All this from 10 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Friday and Saturday, April 21st and 22nd, and noon to 6 Sunday, April 23rd. The St. Clair Arts and Crafts Fair, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights, sponsored by Night Magic Entertainment and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more information at spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
Wednesday morning at 8, we have a hot show planned. It has to do with the recent controversy concerning Georgia Representative Cynthia McKinney. Now, you'd think that the Congressional Black Caucus would have been the first organization to rush to her defense. But no, Chairman Mel Watt is doing all he can to put distance between himself and this issue. Remember when he told Liz on the air it's not fair to judge Congress people on how they vote on issues? Well, it should be no surprise then how he's reacting, or not reacting. A lively discussion with Liz and journalist Lutitia Stills of BlackCommentator.com Wednesday morning here on The Wake Up Call.
Don't forget, MelCash.com.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am talking to the International Affairs Section Chairman for the National Conference of Black Lawyers, Mark Fancher. He's joining us from Ypsilanti, Michigan, and we're talking about Rajah Sarani's denial of his visa into the United States. Mark, tell us why is the National Conference of Black Lawyers involved in this issue?
Well, you know, the guiding mission, you know, what really drives the organization is an absolute, unswerving commitment to self-determination for all people. And we relate very strongly to any population which has been the victim of imperialism or settler colonialism or anything else which has deprived them of the right to constitute themselves as a nation and to direct their own affairs. And so our concern about the plight of Palestinians goes back, you know, some years, and this is the most recent chapter in that. I mean, we relate, you know, because of our connection to the struggles in Africa for land and against settler colonialism. It really, the same enemy is responsible for that type of oppression, whether it's in Africa, Palestine, or actually even here in the United States with respect to the indigenous population in the Americas.
So when Mr. Sarani was told as part of his visa application that he had to go to, he's a Palestinian, he had to go to the Israel police to get permission from them or a statement from them, well, basically permission from them, because they had the authority to say yes or no, to get a statement from them in order for him to get a visa, what did Mr. Sarani say? What did he do?
Well, his you know, obviously he was nonplussed. You know, he could not understand why he as a Palestinian citizen would be asked to get permission from another government. But he also inquired as to whether the file that was maintained by the Israeli police or that would be provided to the United States in connection with the certificate that they were asking for would be provided to him so that in the event that they denied permission, he would be able to mount a credible defense against whatever allegations that they were making about him. And when they said that under no circumstances would they share that file or that information with him, he knew that this was an act of futility, that it was pretty much predetermined that he would not be granted permission.
Has Mr. Serrani ever been here before?
You know, that I do not know. I really do not know that.
Mm. And so how did the world respond to this denial? Because this just happened in March, correct?
Yes, at the end of March. And it is there are growing questions about it. Even among the mainstream press, there was a State Department briefing that was conducted by a spokesman named Sean McCormick, where the mainstream press, which is usually pretty passive, got about as aggressive as I think they normally would on this question, asking raising many of the questions that we've raised this morning, such as, well, you know, if you have suspicions or concerns about this man, why was he invited by you in the first place? And, you know, to look at the transcript, the responses that were provided by McCormick, it's almost laughable. I mean, it was lots of doublespeak and gobbledygook. None of it made any sense. I mean, he basically deflected all of the questions and said that these are things that he's not at liberty to discuss.
Is there...
That they'll just have to trust that the U.S. government is doing the right thing.
Has there been any statement from the White House who invited him here?
I am not aware of any, other than the statement that was made by the State Department at that briefing.
Mm. Muhammad, you have a question or comment?
Yes, I had a question and a comment. We know that back in World War II that 70,000 Jews went over to Palestine and they bought up 100,000 acres. Now, can you tell us what two states assisted them in occupying and taking the Palestinian land from them?
Thank you, Muhammad.
Yeah, the state of Israel is really the product of British and U.S. imperialism, plain and simple. The Zionist movement for many years had been searching for a place to establish a state. I mean, they understood something that many African people worldwide don't understand, and that is that if you're going to end oppression, if you're going to be able to really effectively defend yourself, you need sovereignty, you need a state. And they recognize that even though Judaism is a religion, it's not a nationality or a race or anything. I mean, it may be a cultural or ethnic group as it has developed, but it's not a race or a nation in the sense that many are. But the Zionist movement sought to put forth the idea that, people of the Jewish faith were this nation and that they needed to establish a state which was recognized under international law. You know, this would give them the ability to raise a military to defend them. It would give them an independent economy, and it would give them a place at the table in any diplomatic discussions that happen worldwide. So they sought to establish this state in many different places. In Central America, they even went to Africa and Uganda, trying to see if they could do it there. But then ultimately they decided upon Palestine, sought to justify it and rationalize it through their scriptural interpretations. And through the efforts of England, primarily, they were able in 1948 to establish the State of Israel.
And that has to be our last word. Where can people find out more information about your organization?
Well, we unfortunately, our website is going through a period of transition, but we do have one at nccl.org. But also, I do encourage people to do lots of research on this. The support for, the Israeli point of view on this issue is steadily eroding, and creative, effective ways of raising the contradictions are much needed at this time.
Thank you so much, Mark Fancher, International Affairs Section Chairman for the National Conference of Black Lawyers. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
My name is Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. I'll be back in the next hour. Stay with me.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, City St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Both posted bail. Two Duke University lacrosse players are now officially charged in a high-profile sexual assault case. Their alleged victim, an exotic dancer, hired to perform at a team party. More from ABC's Aaron Kaczerski in Durham, North Carolina.
Two Duke University lacrosse players have been charged with rape, sexual assault, and kidnapping in connection with the alleged attack on a stripper 5 weeks ago. Sophomores Reed Seligman of New Jersey and Colin Finnerty of New York appeared before dawn in handcuffs at the jail here. Both posted bond of $400,000.
The players are both from the New York City area. Brian Loftus also lives in the area. His twin sons are on the Duke team as well.
I asked him 10 times. I said, did anything happen? And both my sons, vehemently, all they ever told me is that, Dad, nothing happened. Nobody did anything.
The suspects will be arraigned probably sometime next week. An announcement is expected this morning from President Bush. ABC News has learned that he's chosen Trade Representative Rob Portman to run the White House Office of Management and Budget. Portman will replace Josh Bolton, the new White House Chief of Staff. So what about other changes?
We're told that the president has not signed off on any specific staff changes yet, but Republican allies are openly hopeful that this overhaul will help revive the president's agenda and poll numbers in time to help congressional candidates in the November election.
ABC's Jessica Yellen at the White House. The defense could finish its case today in the sentencing trial of Zacharias Moussaoui. Yesterday, a psychiatrist said that the al-Qaeda conspirator was schizophrenic. Sirens wail before dawn in San Francisco in memory of the city's great earthquake and fire. It was 100 years ago today. Nearly 6,000 people were killed. The event is still considered one of the nation's worst disasters. The price of gas is up. A new record high for oil prices yesterday means it could probably go higher. It's now $2.78 a gallon. This is ABC News.
Welcome back to Inside D.C. I am Kim Davis, and we're talking politics with James on his car phone.
Kim, I just missed a right turn back there. Now, can I take a right at this light?
Well, I have been accused of leaning to the right.
To easily get back on track when you miss a turn, you want to ask TomTom, not Kim.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen, and a helpful voice guides you where you're going.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
Homeowners, are you looking for a way to cut your bills? Take advantage of an asset you already have. It's your home. And with Quicken Loans, now you can save big by cutting your mortgage payment up to 35%. Call Quicken Loans at 800-282-1588. They can cut your mortgage payment up to 35%. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. That's Quicken Loans, 800-282-1588. 800-282-1588.
For people in a handful of states and the District of Columbia, this is it. Your income taxes must be in the mail postmarked by midnight tonight. The extra day is in observance of yesterday's Patriots Day and Emancipation Day holidays. If you're lucky, you're going to get a refund. So what do you plan to do with it? A new study says you'll probably blow right through it. Here's ABC's Brad Wheelis.
Many of us know we probably should save, but most of us don't. A survey by Braun Research and Bank of America finds nearly a third of 35 to 44-year-olds give themselves a grade of D or F when it comes to saving. About 20% of younger adults have never thought about saving for a rainy day. New Yorkers are twice as likely to think they don't need to save and that money is meant to be spent. Residents of Los Angeles say they like to put money away to pay for special occasions. Brad Wheelis, ABC News.
Or you might spend the money on a divorce lawyer. An attorney in Chicago says his business takes a big jump the day after tax filing day. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, funeral arrangements are pending for a man crushed to death underneath a dump truck bed. Eureka Police Chief Michael Wiegan says the 43-year-old man's death was apparently not an accident or foul play, but suicide. Wiegan explains that the mechanism on the truck is slow-moving, which apparently gave the man enough time to set the machine in motion. He says the man had been having domestic problems. The man was found early yesterday morning under the truck at J.M. Marshutes in Eureka. Police are still looking for a suspect in the robbery of an armored car yesterday in North St. Louis. Shots were fired in the robbery shortly before 10 o'clock yesterday morning outside a check cashing business at North Kings Highway and Page, but no one was injured. The man escaped with an undisclosed amount of money. Finally this hour, Missouri Lieutenant Governor Peter Kinder will take part in the 2006 Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure. Kinder, a Republican, was joined yesterday by Democratic State Senator Maida Komen and State Representative Rachel Storch to announce their participation in the race.
And the purpose of my announcement was to challenge elected officials, starting with members of the House and Senate in Jefferson City from both parties, to join me in the Susan Komen Race for the Cure.
Kinder says he hopes to make the race a nonpartisan event that will bring in participants from across the state. Kinder says he is personally taking part in the race in honor of Secretary of State Robin Carnahan, who was recently diagnosed with breast cancer. The 2006 Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure will be held on June 10th. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by McDonald's. Enjoy a little daylight savings at McDonald's. Stop in for one of three delicious breakfast extra value meals, like an Egg McMuffin, hash browns, and small coffee, all for under $3. McDonald's, I'm loving it. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Midas. Trust the Midas touch. Eastbound 40 at Vandeventer Road construction reduced to two lanes, and it goes on through Memorial Day weekend. The right lane is blocked, and the exit is blocked at Vandeventer, and they're closed, and traffic backs up through the Science Center. Eastbound 44 at Mraz Overpass, 270. Look for slow traffic in the right lane. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and Big Bend. Heavy volume there. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road all the way to 79. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from 141 to Mason. Look for slow traffic there as well. Westbound 270 from 367 to West Florissant. Look for a slow volume going on there. Eastbound 70 from McKelvey to St. Charles Rock Road is slow. Westbound Martin Luther King Bridge at the 5570 split all the way back to the Illinois Bank. Look for heavy volume going on there. Westbound 64 from Powell Avenue into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for heavy congestion there, as well as westbound 5570 from 64 onto the PSP is slow in the right lane. And Telegraph northbound at 255 is slow traffic due to an earlier accident. Traffic's backing up close to a mile on Telegraph Road. North Main at Highway 79, look for an injury accident there. Northbound 94 Kisker, look for an accident reported as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Midas. Trust the Midas touch. What's the most important feature on your car? Midas believes it's the person who does your brakes. Don't trust your brakes to just anyone. Trust America's leader in brakes. Trust the Midas touch. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Partly cloudy, high in the upper 70s today. Partly cloudy in the evening. Chance of showers and thunderstorms after midnight with a low in the mid-50s for Wednesday. Mostly cloudy in the morning. Partly sunny in the afternoon, a high around 70. And Thursday, partly sunny with a high in the lower 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clouds and 55 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting clouds and 56. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Thursday morning at 9 on the Wake Up Call, a new look at an old episode in history that's crying out for justice. Georgia State Representative Tyrone Brooks is spearheading a move to again investigate the lynching of two black couples in Walton County, Georgia in July of 1946. The FBI had named 55 suspects in that case, but no one was ever charged. Brooks says some of those involved are still alive, and he wants the agency to reopen its investigation and bring closure to what is believed to be the last organized racial lynching in America. It's a story you won't want to miss. Thursday morning at 9 with Georgia State Representative Tyrone Brooks on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, brother. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, brother. It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you.
was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I'm going to tell you, the progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that the blow that the blow made.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The air feels brother.
The hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man. Charity, poverty, disease, or wealth.
Believe that all men are good people. Yet many are denied existence.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. I want to talk about the way that this story is being told about the rape of a 27-year-old mother of two. By lacrosse team members. Well, I want to talk about how it's fascinating. We have boys who are not accused. Daddy's going on national television saying, "I asked my sons 10 times, did anything happen? And they said 10 times 10. No, Dad." Let me just ask you this. I know there are a lot of people out there that have really good relationships with their kids. I know that there are people out there that believe their children. But I want to say, I was 20-something years old. I was 18, 19, 17 years old. I was in college, okay? And when I was that age, unfortunately, for all those that were in my world, I thought that I knew everything. I truly did. There is an energy and a worldview that goes with being that age. There's an energy and a worldview that goes with me being me. I cannot imagine the energy and the worldview of white, unearned privilege men that are part of a sports team with a bunker mentality of you talk about your thin blue line. These boys have a line as thick as the state of North Carolina. And they're not crossing it. Everything in their world, everything in their age, everything in their class, everything in their gender, everything in their sports team mentality that says we must protect us against them. Because you and I, ladies and gentlemen, we the them. So the absurdity of a father going on national television with all of that being so, members of sports team, young men, white men, unearned privileged white men, part of a sports team, an elite sports team that has committed crime after crime after crime, and it's been covered up, hushed up, and ignored. For him to say to us, with a straight face, that my boys would have told me, oh, no, they wouldn't. Nothing in society says that they would tell you something like that. And let alone nothing in society tells us that if they told you that, that you'd come and tell us that they told you that. You'd narc out your sons? Come on now. Would you lie on behalf of your sons? Bet you would. Because your sons aren't accused of rape. All they're saying is that somebody else didn't do it. Trust me, they have more fidelity to that fraternity that they are part of than they do to you. And they 18, 19, 20, 21 years old. Yeah, they'd lie to you. And you know that they would lie to you about this. And so the fact that the thing is that, number one, that he wants us to believe that his sons wouldn't lie to him about that. And secondly, he gets to come on television. I mean, you know, I bet you $1 million that he wasn't asked, well, okay, they wouldn't lie to you, huh? They wouldn't keep something from you. Let's even throw the word lie out there. Let's just get rid of the word lie. Let's just ask the question of would they keep something from you? I wonder if the question was asked of this daddy on Good Morning America. I wonder if the question was asked him, well, then they must have told you about all of the players that have been arrested for drunk driving. They must have told you that, right? They must have told you about all of the crimes that the lacrosse team members, so many, more than any other sports team at Duke. Surely they told you about those crimes, right? Because they're open with you like that, right? Bet you didn't know about that. Bet you none of the parents knew about that. Kids are not going to tell. Who's going to go home and tell their parents that they are part of a sports team where most of the members are out there committing, or a lot of the members are out there, where some of the members are out there committing crimes? Is that going to be a conversation at the dinner table? More than likely not. And if you didn't know, why would you, and now that you do know, why would you want your sons to be part of a team that has that kind of a reputation? Bet you got an excuse for that, too. Bet you got an excuse for that, too. So here we are, an onslaught of all kinds of statements from folks coming out the woodwork about the innocentness of these boys, of these lacrosse players. And every time, and I haven't finished doing my research on this, but I've just done a couple of Google searches, almost every time that this story is mentioned, the word stripper is used, or exotic dancer. Why don't they say, have you ever heard the story led off with a 27-year-old mother of two was allegedly raped by a lacrosse team? Nope. A stripper. And then most of the story is consumed with, comprised of, denials from the other side. Now, I'm a former defense attorney. I understand the job of defense attorneys. I understand that a defense attorney benefits from his case being tried in the court of public opinion. But normally what happens in the court of public opinion when defense attorneys attempt to try their cases, they're not as successful as prosecuting attorneys. Because the prosecuting attorney always has the weight of public sentiment on their side. Unless the accused is an unearned privileged white male, then the script is flipped. And sentiment swings quickly. towards everybody's now a defense attorney. Where were they with O.J.? Where were they with Michael Jackson? 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. And just let me throw something out here. Who became pundits for hire? Who got jobs after O.J. Simpson? After the analysis of O.J. Simpson? Did the people who defended O.J. Simpson get jobs, or did the people that attacked O.J. Simpson get jobs? I'm just asking. Star Jones didn't get her job because she defended O.J. Simpson. She got her gig as a result of, I'm sure she should get on her knees every night. Thank you, O.J. Simpson, for being there, because I sure wouldn't have this gig if you hadn't. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Evelyn.
Hi, Liz.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. I've been somewhat following this Duke case. Actually, I've been just getting bits and pieces on a daily basis. excuse me. I've noticed that when this case first appeared in the mass media, that I didn't see any reporters, any of the individuals who were reporting this story or even discussing the story in the media, even coming to the defense of this young lady. As a matter of fact, many people had already tried her, and I've even heard many, especially male reporters, which is par for the course, such as Hannity on Fox. I just wanted to hear the different point of views, and I just wanted to just listen to the viewpoints on different national news stations, and none of them came to the support of this young lady. As a matter of fact, they talked as though this didn't happen. And I've even heard statements such as, well, this isn't going to trial because she didn't tell the truth. And when people try to discredit this young lady, someone such as Dan Abrams and Sean Hannity, they went into her past. And that's what people try to do. They try to go into your past to discredit you.
Well, wait a minute. No, they don't. Because who's the biggest crackhead in talk radio?
Well, we know that.
But no, I don't mean we know. Here's my point. My point is that if what you have done in the past is significant enough to discredit you, then why isn't Rush Limbaugh discredited because of his crack addiction and the crimes that he has committed on behalf of crack? Why is George Bush in the White House with his crimes that he has committed while on drugs? It's not about the crime. It is about the person who stands accused of the crime.
And so what they're trying to do is discredit her. And I know, well, let me say this. I believe that race plays a big part of this whole story and how this scenario is played out in the mass media.
Well, race plays a part of it because they were calling her out her name on at when she was there.
Exactly. And you know what, if she was not a black woman, you know as well as I know that the whole viewpoint and the whole attitude even of individuals who have particularly males
I disagree. Evelyn, I disagree completely. If she were a white woman and because she's a woman of African descent, there is contempt for women in this society, contempt for women who accuse white males of rape. I mean, look how long it took to have a rape shield law come into place in a court of law saying that you can't use the fact of what a woman wears as proof that she was just asking for it. And these are their women. I mean, these are white women that we were talking about. So, no, I don't think a white woman would have fared any different than look at the Kennedy trial. Look at the Kennedy trial. Did he walk or was he convicted?
Well, okay, that's a good case. But, you know, I'm just looking, I'm listening to all the viewpoints of the individuals. They tried this woman with you know, even before anyone was charged or indicted. I mean, they tried her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm just listening to all these viewpoints. It's almost as though it didn't happen. And as a matter of fact, you know, they've even tried to accuse her of just outright lying. And yes, I heard that father's statement when he said, oh, my son would have told me.
My twin
and
son.
He sounded like an idiot. I mean, children don't tell their parents everything.
Well, when you're 20-something years old and you involved with the gang, is that something that you tell your dad?
Okay.
Got to roll. Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get to me. D.
Good morning, Dr. Brown.
D.
You're absolutely right. Peers at that age group, you know, they're going
to... Their fidelity is to them.
Peers.
That's fact.
But, you know, it's so difficult for me to think that you thought you knew everything when you were angry. Because I did, too. But, you know, I'm going to tell you this. The women had better really understand. It's not just black women being demonized.
Demonized.
Pro-life is the female demonization of American women, period.
Mm.
And we better all stand up and fight this.
Mm.
Because it's going to come home to roost.
Thanks for your call, Dean.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. Lee.
Yes. Hey, how you doing?
I'm outstanding.
I'm somewhat surprised because of what has taken place. I mean, my whole thing is we should never be surprised on like the father, you know, being on TV. We should never be surprised about the media coverage. We should never be surprised about everything that has transpired, because I mean, it's like asking a snake not to be a snake.
Well, I don't think that what I'm expressing is not surprise. I am absolutely not surprised. I'm not expressing that at all. What I'm expressing is an exposing is the hypocrisy. What I'm expressing and exposing are ways for people to, tools for people to use to analyze these voices that are coming across the airways themselves. This isn't an expression of surprise. This is an expression of, okay, here are the questions that need to be asked of the dad. Were these questions asked? So that when you have these conversations at the dinner table, at the water cooler, that you talk about these types of things to deconstruct, to make it plain that this father is either misinformed or lying.
Right. Well, I always know. I mean, I always pretty much know your standpoint, Liz. But sometimes I listen and I hear callers call in, and to me it comes across as if, you know, the people aren't who they are, and it just further expresses and shows on how much we have to pull together. I mean, they will continue doing what they do, but it just, for me, I just feel it just shows the continuation of it. Just shows more and more the importance of us taking care of us.
Thanks for your call, Lee.
Take care.
All right, you too. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. My email is revolution@lizbrown.com. Get to me. We're going to take a break. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Grandma's hand used to hand me a piece of candy. Grandma's hand picked me up each time I fell. Grandma's hand, boy, they really came in a handy. She said, Matty, don't you whip that ball. What you...
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Midas. Trust the Midas touch. Eastbound 44 at 270. Look for congestion on ramp 270. Northbound 270 at Gravoy and 44. Slight delays. Eastbound 40 from 141 to Mason is returned back to normal. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry in West Florissant, no problems there. Westbound Martin Luther King Bridge traffic at Cleese Landing is returned back to normal. Northbound Route 3 at Monsanto and Poplar Street Bridge is still congested. North Main at 79 is closed due to an accident. Westbound 5570 at 3rd Street under the PSB. Look for stop-and-go traffic with northbound Manchester at Rock Hill. There's an accident. Northbound Elm after 44, it is a disabled vehicle in the left lane is blocked. Potomac at Oak Hill, look for an injury accident, and that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Midas. Trust the Midas touch. What's the most important safety feature on your car? Midas believes it's the person who does your brakes. Don't trust your brakes to just anyone. Trust America's leader in brakes. Trust the Midas touch. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Partly cloudy, high in the upper 70s today. This evening, partly cloudy, becoming mostly cloudy overnight with a chance for showers and thunderstorms after midnight with a low in the mid-50s. Wednesday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny by the afternoon, high around 70. And Thursday, partly sunny with a high in the lower 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 55 degrees and clouds. Lambert Field is reporting 56 and clouds. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Need cash today? Visit mouthcash.com without delay.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
If you like handmade arts and crafts, you'll love the St. Clair Arts and Crafts Fair. Come on out to St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights, Friday, April 21st through Sunday, April 23rd. Stroll through the aisles. Discover fine handcrafted jewelry, framed works of art, clothing, quilts, candles, gourmet snacks, home decor, and so much more. Delightful and unusual gifts all in one place, all in one stop. Register to win one of dozens of prizes to be given away throughout the weekend, including a $1,000 online shopping spree from MyFreeGifts.com. It's one of the first craft events of the year and one of the easiest ways to see and buy from many of the area's finest artisans and crafters. All this from 10 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Friday and Saturday, April 21st and 22nd, and noon to 6 Sunday, April 23rd. The St. Clair Arts and Crafts Fair, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights, sponsored by Night Magic Entertainment and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more information at spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. Wednesday morning at 8, we have a hot show planned. It has to do with the recent controversy concerning Georgia Representative Cynthia McKinney. Now, you'd think that the Congressional Black Caucus would have been the first organization to rush to her defense. But no, Chairman Mel Watt is doing all he can to put distance between himself and this issue. Remember when he told Liz on the air it's not fair to judge congresspeople on how they vote on issues? Well, it should be no surprise then how he's reacting, or not reacting. A lively discussion with Liz and journalist Lutitia Stills of BlackCommentator.com Wednesday morning here on The Wake Up Call.
Are you a woman undergoing treatment for cancer? Or do you know someone who is? The Scientific Arts Foundation, a nonprofit organization, is supporting research evaluating the effects of a relaxation CD on stress in cancer patients undergoing treatment. If you are a female undergoing chemotherapy or radiation treatment for cancer and are willing to join in this important and relaxing study for 10 to 20 days, contact Dr. William Collins at 314-569-1290. That's 314-569-1290. To learn more about the Scientific Arts Foundation, visit their website at www.scientificartsfoundation.org.
Thursday morning at 9 on The Wake Up Call, a new look at an old episode in history that's crying out for justice. Georgia State Representative Tyrone Brooks is spearheading a move to again investigate the lynching of two black couples in Walton County, Georgia in July of 1946. The FBI had named 55 suspects in that case, but no one was ever charged. Brooks says some of those involved are still alive, and he wants the agency to reopen its investigation and bring closure to what is believed to be the last organized racial lynching in America. It's a story you won't want to miss. Thursday morning at 9 with Georgia State Representative Tyrone Brooks on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Around the world, and behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call. Wake Up Call. Liz Brown. Liz Brown.
I've got a hard road to travel and a rough, rough way to go. Said it's a hard road to travel and a rough, rough way to go. But I can't turn back. My heart is fixed. My mind's made up. I'll never stop. And my faith will see me through. Let me tell you, I'm all alone.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Hey, Liz.
Yes, who is this?
This is Dayton.
Dayton, good morning.
Yeah, listen, I'm a heterosexual, and I want to say that the bisexuals, you know, they need to come out and express their feelings and let people know who they are, you know. And I wanted to ask you.
540-400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. And I, as I plow my way through this story, as I look at what is being said about this rape story. I found a copy of the warrant that was issued on this story, or as a result of this rape investigation. And what and I'm looking at the warrant right now. And here are some of the items that they were told to look for and to seize. Any DNA evidence, including hair, semen, blood, saliva, related to the suspects and the victim. Blue bathroom carpet and rug. Any clothing related to the suspects and the victim. Any documentation identifying the suspects. Collection of latent prints identifying the persons in the residence, documentation of ownership of the residence, property belonging to the victim, to include but not limited to a purse, a wallet, makeup bag, cellular camera phone, and one shoe. Still photographs, video footage, digital recordings of the party, any cameras or video devices that could contain photographs or footage of the party on March 13th to March 14th, artificial fingernails with reddish color polish, and United States currency totaling $400 or portions of said currency, all $20 bills. Now, my question is this. She had one shoe on. She left her wallet, she left her makeup bag, she left her purse, she left a camera telephone. Help me explain, help me understand what didn't happen here. If you want to demonize this person in terms of her job that she held, if you want to demonize her in terms of that coup. Let's say that she is everything in your wildest nightmare. Or fantasy, as the case may be. Why would a woman who is everything that you say that she is negative, why would she leave her purse behind? Why would she leave one shoe behind? Why would she leave her phone behind if nothing happened? If nothing happened, why would she do that? Why would this mother of two leave her wallet behind? Why would this single mother of two leave her wallet behind? I'm just asking. Why would she do that? Those are the things that they went looking for. Those are the things that they seized. Why did the coach quit? No. Why did he tender his resignation? Why did the school accept it? Because the school knows stuff that you and I will never know. Will never, never, never know. Dave.
Yes, Liz, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I was listening at the reading of the warrant.
You mean the indictment?
Yes, the indictment. Now, if she left all these items behind, to me that indicates a hasty retreat.
A hasty departure.
Exactly. So why was she in a hurry to get out of there unless she was in
particularly, if she is all, you know, all of the negative stereotypes around a stripper, okay? Hardened woman, does stuff for money, she strips for a living. Why would she leave her purse behind?
Well,
if nothing happened.
Well, we know better. And is their attempt to just like you say, demonize this and protect those other guys?
The Colin Finnerty and Rita Siegelman.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you so much. 454 Siegelman. Colin and Rita. R-E-A-D-E. They were arrested and charged with first-degree forcible rape, first-degree kidnapping, first-degree sexual offense, and they had $400,000 bonds on them. $400,000 bonds. And everybody's hollering about no DNA. Everybody, all of a sudden, everybody is CSI. Everybody is Columbo New School. No DNA means no rape. What the, huh? Has anybody ever heard of a condom before? Has anyone ever heard of people being raped in other ways? Anne, good morning.
Good morning. I was just riding along on my cell phone here, and I heard you, and you made a comment that something should be a wake-up call, as you call it. When you said, why would she leave her cell phone behind?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on, think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Her money, two things, her money,
mm-hmm.
cell phone.
Uh-huh, and she's a single mother of two.
Yes.
And one shoe, and she left one shoe behind.
One shoe. See, think about, that's the key right there.
Why would she do that?
Why would you leave your cell phone?
Mm-hmm.
That's help.
Mm-hmm.
That's help.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Why would you leave your money? You could flag a cow.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have it.
That's fact. You had to leave quickly, didn't you?
Thank you.
All right now.
Bye-bye.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920. I really want you all to have an opportunity to express yourself, so we're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. Get to our break, and then I want to get to you. Don't forget, school board meeting tonight, school board meeting tonight, school board meeting 7 o'clock at Carr Lane School on Jefferson. I think it's 1004 Jefferson, right across from the fire department. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about.
Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Baghdad. A new report just issued by a UN agency says women are faring much worse now in Iraq than they were during Saddam Hussein's regime. The survey was conducted by the Integrated Regional Information Networks and found that the rights of women are being respected less today than they were before the liberation. Women's rights were guaranteed in the old Iraqi constitution, and they were respected. Women were allowed to hold important government positions. But now, even though their rights are still mentioned in the new constitution, they're only receiving lip service. The men currently in power follow Sharia law, and that means females are relegated to a subservient role in society. Plus, the men are now ordering more and more women to wear body coverings from head to toe. One of the cornerstones of invading Iraq was mentioned by President Bush as to improving the plight of women. And Dateline Jackson, Mississippi. More pork barrel to tell you about coming out of the emergency war spending bill. The two Republican senators from Mississippi, Trent Lott and Thad Cochran, have included a $700 million appropriation that is to rebuild a railroad line that was destroyed by Hurricane Katrina. The line runs along the Gulf Coast and is owned by CSX Railroad. Well, here's the problem. Although the line was taken out by the storm, it has already been repaired by the company at a cost of $250 million and is now back in operation. Lott is defending the measure, saying the route needs to be relocated as a safety issue for the residents of the Gulf Coast. But there is a hidden agenda behind this idea. The CSX line is just a few blocks from the Gulf Coast, including the beaches. Mississippi officials want CSX to move that line onto existing Norfolk and Southern tracks that are more to the north. Then Interstate 90 would be rebuilt along the CSX line and made into a smaller beach boulevard type of throughway that would put people closer to the tourist attractions along the beaches, including the casinos. But the Magnolia State politicians have enlisted their boys to get federal dollars to make all this happen. The whole deal appears to be a big giveaway for economic developers hidden under the funding for the war in Iraq. This is your wake-up call global news update.
Need cash today? Visit mouthcash.com without delay.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. Connect Care. Still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we take our commitment seriously. Our connection to the community is not just providing superior specialty care. Our connection is not just providing world-class urgent care at our Smiley Urgent Care Center. Keeping our connection to the community is something we do every single day. From our free clothes closet for our patients, our breast cancer support group, our nationally recognized celebrity senior program, or the fact that we're home to the Ryan White HIV/AIDS program. Keeping connected to the community matters to Connect Care.
Are you a female undergoing chemotherapy or radiation treatment for cancer? Are you willing to listen to a relaxation CD for 10 to 20 days? Then contact Dr. William Collins at 314-569-1290. That's 314-569-1290. This research is supported by the Scientific Arts Foundation. Visit www.scientificartsfoundation.org for more information.
Don't forget, MelsCash.com.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Yeah.
welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. We're talking about the rape at Duke University, and the father, one of the things, the father of the twins that went on television to say that his sons would have told him if anything happened. Well, check this out. Duke lacrosse head coach Mike Pressler remained in denial about this. He denied it until a scheduled March 25th match against Georgetown. He didn't even bother to address the allegations when pressed by a reporter on March 24th. This happened on March 13th. This happened on March 13th. So I'm supposed to believe that these boys are going to tell something that their coach ain't saying anything about to their daddies? Come on. Come on. Ben Birch, good morning.
Hello, Liz. You know, one thing I'm not sure you know about me is that I've been a sex workers' rights activist for many, many years. One of the things that got me into this was reading a story back in the 70s up here in Chicago about a vice cop who had been raping and shaking down sex workers, secure in the knowledge that none of his fellow cops would ever take a complaint against him from a sex worker seriously. And, you know, I think that somebody who is a sex worker can be raped, which apparently a lot of the people involved in poo-pooing this case don't.
But see, I resist the urge to even describe her as, describe her as a sex worker. A person that is an exotic dancer, are they a sex worker?
Well, you know, the term as coined by Carol Lee of San Francisco back in the 80s intended to include all people who have a sexual employment as an attempt to define the whole field as a field of employment rather than by the exact behaviors that they use.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly to the people who are poo-pooing this whole idea, they don't see any difference between an exotic dancer and a hooker.
Yeah.
And they don't
Fair.
Think a hooker can be raped.
Fair. Well, that explains the whole biggest drug addict in the world, Rush Limbaugh, calling her a hoe.
Exactly. It does. You just have to understand that there are a lot of people who do this sort of job for a living. Mm. People you probably, I'm sure there are people in this listening audience now who are or have been sex workers of some sort.
And I know that they're, and what about the people that purchase or who buy the time of a sex worker? These boys, did they tell their daddies that they were hiring a dancer like this? Did they? And also, one of the things that I think that we really need to talk about is what the charges are. The victim says that she was vaginally, anally, orally penetrated, punched, kicked, and nearly strangled by the three men for 30 minutes. For 30 minutes. And when she got outside, neighbors heard them calling her racist names when she got outside.
Exactly. But the attempt here is one to, first of all, she's a sex worker. And second of all, she's a sex worker of color. And they are using both of those things to say, well, obviously she could not possibly
have
been raped.
There you go. Thank you so much, Ben.
You take care.
454-0400 is my phone number. Frederica.
Yes.
Good morning.
Hi. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I'm blessed.
Very good.
My comment today was, first of all, I'd like to let you know that I've been listening to your show for a while. This is my first time calling.
Well, welcome.
And I enjoy your show. My comment is the prime reason right now people do not come forward about rape.
Tell it.
Is because nothing is done.
And
nothing is done about it.
And then there's another reason too, Frederica. What's the other reason? The other reason is that out of fear that nobody will believe them.
Exactly, exactly. And that goes for younger, the
fact.
Younger generation,
fact.
Men and women.
Fact.
And my comment for the past listener that was just on the radio, you know, I think about, I understand what he's saying, you know, but who are you to, who are they to judge? Regardless if she dances or not,
mm-hmm.
you know, if she's a stripper or not, you know. A lot of, you know, you patronize a lot of businesses where people were possibly strippers, you know. Who knows? Your attorney may have been a stripper in the past. Who are you to judge?
And who,
you know?
What's more problematic, a woman that takes her clothes off to dance or a man that sticks drugs up his nose and purchases them? Which one's worse? If we're going to judge. If we're going to judge.
I mean, we can't.
Okay.
I can't judge because, hey, I'm not God. So, you know,
well, I
who
feel
am I to judge?
I feel comfortable in saying that a person who shows their body in a world where walking around naked in some places is no big thing.
Exactly.
It ain't no big thing compared to a person that goes out and purchases illegal drugs and uses them and then criticizes people for doing the same thing. That's a big, I can judge that. I feel comfortable in judging that.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah, you're right in that aspect. So you're right. And, you know, I feel sorry for her. I feel sorry for
her. She's a student. She's a full-time student. Did you know that? She's a mother of two, a full-time student, and the only occupation that she is described by as either being a stripper or an exotic dancer. Why don't they ever say student? Why don't they ever say student?
They don't want to give her any credit.
There you go. Thank you so much, Frederica.
Thank you, and you have a blessed day, Liz.
You too. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Sylvia.
No, this brother just sent
you. Okay, I'm sorry.
Sister, and I respect you, number one. Good morning. Thank you for the call. I want to first say congratulations to the new appointees to the school board, and thank everybody for coming out voting. Okay. My question today, on the Duke situation with the students, there aren't any women's groups speaking out at all.
Oh, there are. Oh, no. There are.
Are there?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. There's been daily demonstrations there ever since this happened. There's one organization. They activists from across the triangle gathered in front of the house and staged a Carla Rosano wake-up call, a traditional form of protest used by women in Latin America to publicly shame rapists and batterers. The participants banged on pots and pans while calling for justice and solidarity. Oh, no. They're all kind. No. All right.
Everybody's on the case, then. That's all
right.
I'm worried about.
Thank you so much, Jacinta.
All right. Peace and blessings.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. Sylvia.
Hello?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding. Quickly, please.
Yes. I was calling about the Duke case.
Yes.
Now, you remember that movie, A Time to Kill?
I did not watch it.
Okay. When the defense attorney had the jurors who closed their eyes to imagine the young lady as a white girl being raped and killed, you know, her virginity taken away.
Okay, quickly, please.
I was just saying, you know, what they have, the policeman said he found her drunk.
No. That was a security guard that said that.
He wasn't even a medical personnel. That's my point.
Okay. Yeah, but understand that the prosecutor has said, oh, yeah, there was a rape here.
I know
And the prosecutor said, oh, yeah, we're charging first-degree rape, first-degree
mm-hmm.
kidnapping. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
they
yeah.
probably threw the stuff on her and beat her to death.
Thanks for your
unconscious.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Earlene, 10 seconds here. I'm sorry.
Hey, just compare this to the Natalie Holloway. We're still hearing about this young lady over in Aruba. They castigated an entire island through jets, Navy jets, and the FBI owned. If you're white and blonde, your value is much higher.
And what was she doing down there, and who was she doing?
Anybody ever been to the Caribbean? I can't castigate all white women. I've been twice, and I know the young ladies on the plane couldn't wait to get off the party. That's what she was over there for.
Thanks for your call. And that's a great point. I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. 96 St. Louis.
Here's
the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. It was an early start to what could be one of the longest days in their lives. Two Duke University students are now officially charged in a highly publicized alleged rape case. ABC's Aaron Katursky has details from Durham, North Carolina.
Reed Seligman of New Jersey and Colin Finnerty of New York were arrested before dawn on charges of rape, sexual assault, and kidnapping. Prosecutors say the two 20-year-old sophomores attacked a stripper hired for a house party 5 weeks ago. But Brian Loftus, the father of unindicted twins on the Duke lacrosse team, told ABC News his sons deny anything happened.
I asked him 10 times. I said, did anything happen? And both my sons, vehemently, all they ever told me is that, Dad, nothing happened. Nobody did anything.
Last year, Duke warned the lacrosse coach to get his players in line after a string of disciplinary violations. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, Durham, North Carolina.
Bells ring in San Francisco early this morning in honor of the police officers and firefighters who died in the city's great earthquake and fire 100 years ago today. Nearly 6,000 people were killed. It's considered one of the worst disasters in U.S. history. A change on the White House team. President Bush this morning introduced Rob Portman as the new director of the Office of Management and Budget.
The job of the OMB director is to ensure that the government spends the taxpayers' money wisely. Or not at all.
Portman, who had been a U.S. Trade Representative, replaces Josh Bolton, the new White House Chief of Staff. The fate of Zacharias Moussaoui could be in the hands of a jury again very soon. The prosecution is expected to call its final witnesses today, a second psychiatrist who is expected to say the Al-Qaeda conspirator is mentally unbalanced, and a relative of a 9/11 attack victim who believes the death penalty isn't severe enough punishment for Moussaoui. The Dow is up 56 points in early going. The Nasdaq is ahead by 13. This is ABC News.
Welcome back to Inside DC. I am Kim Davis, and we're talking politics with James on his car phone.
Kim, I just missed a right turn back there. Now, can I take a right at this light?
Well, I have been accused of leaning to the right.
To easily get back on track when you miss a turn, you want to ask TomTom, not Kim.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen, and a helpful voice guides you where you're going.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
Homeowners, are you looking for a way to cut your bills? Take advantage of an asset you already have. It's your home. And with Quicken Loans, now you can save big by cutting your mortgage payment up to 35%. Call Quicken Loans at 800-282-1588. They can cut your mortgage payment up to 35%. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. That's Quicken Loans, 800-282-1588. 800-282-1588.
A drug given to women to prevent osteoporosis has an unexpected side effect.
We now have a second weapon in the fight against breast cancer, and that couldn't be better news.
Dr. Patrick Borgen at Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York City, the drug is called raloxifene. It's shown to have fewer adverse side effects than the drug commonly prescribed, tamoxifen. He did it in the 1970s, and Neil Young is at it again. In the months after 9/11, Neil Young supported the Bush administration. He recorded Let's Roll in tribute to the passengers on United Flight 93, and he came out publicly in support of the Patriot Act. But now the 60-year-old musician says he's recorded a protest album featuring an anti-Iraq war tract and a song titled Let's Impeach the President. The album, titled Living with War, was recorded this month with a 100-member choir. Executives at his label are about to hear it for the first time. They say they didn't even know he was making a record. Deirdre Bryant, ABC News.
And I'm Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, authorities are looking for a suspect who robbed a bank in North County. Police say the Commerce Bank in the 1600 block of Pattern was robbed yesterday, shortly before 12:30 in the afternoon. The suspect is described as a black male, 30 to 35 years old, between 5'8" and 6 feet, and weighing about 250 pounds with a beard and mustache. He was last seen wearing a green T-shirt, a red ball cap, blue sweatpants, and glasses. Anyone with information is asked to call St. Louis County Police at 314-889-2341 or Crime Stoppers at 1-866-371-TIPS. About 100 parrots brought to the U.S. illegally are in the care of the World Bird Sanctuary in Valley Park. The parrots were confiscated in Los Angeles and were brought to St. Louis yesterday. They will not be able to be adopted as pets or released into the wild because of disease exposure, so they will remain at the World Bird Sanctuary. The sanctuary is looking for donations to help pay for the birds' care. Finally this hour, Illinois Congressman John Shimkus is being honored for his work within the biotechnology arena. Shimkus, who has been named the Bio-Legislator of the Year, says the St. Louis metropolitan area is one of the four leading areas in the biotech field.
Biotechnology is something that people might be able to pronounce, but it's very hard to understand. You know, it's really a niche arena, but it's affecting everybody in multiple areas of their lives, and it's just an educational challenge that we have to continue to work on.
Shimkus was at the Southern Illinois University at Edwardsville yesterday to take part in a local biotechnology leadership event. This WGNU News report is brought to you by Orkin Pest Control. Orkin made Training Magazine's top 100 trained companies, which basically means Orkin men know bugs. Remember, if it bugs you, bug the Orkin man at 1-800-ORKIN-MAN. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by TomTom.com. Eastbound 40 at Van Deventer is road construction reduced to two lanes, and the right lane and exit lane on Van Deventer are closed. Traffic backs up approaching the Science Center. Eastbound 40 at 270, an injury accident, and the right lane is closed to southbound, or the right exit to southbound 270 is blocked. Westbound 270 at Canal Bridge and Chain of Rocks Bridge, look for bridge maintenance going on. North Main at Highway 79 is closed due to an accident involving an overturned cement mixer. And eastbound 44 at Gray Summit and Pacific Viaduct, look for road construction there. There's various other road construction sites going on, so use caution and slow down and give the workers a break. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by TomTom.com. TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Just tap on the screen, and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today. Tomorrow and Thursday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 70s this evening. Partly cloudy in the evening. Mostly cloudy overnight with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. The low should be around 50 for Wednesday. Mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny by the afternoon, a high around 70. And Thursday, partly sunny with a high near the lower 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920, we have 55 degrees under cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Thursday morning at 9 on the wake-up call, a new look at an old episode in history that's crying out for justice. Georgia State Representative Tyrone Brooks is spearheading a move to again investigate the lynching of two black couples in Walton County, Georgia in July of 1946. The FBI had named 55 suspects in that case, but no one was ever charged. Brooks says some of those involved are still alive, and he wants the agency to reopen its investigation and bring closure to what is believed to be the last organized racial lynching in America. It's a story you won't want to miss. Thursday morning at 9 with Georgia State Representative Tyrone Brooks on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Very sad news for all of you. People who love peace
all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot with killed tonight. I will never say the progress has been made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, there's no progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below, me.
I think I'm hearing revolution begin. No progress. I'm listening.
The hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help and can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. It should come as no surprise to folks. It should come as absolutely no surprise to folks that the poor, because we've been told that the economy is doing great. We've been told that the folks are doing better. We've been told that folks are going to be able to afford this. Let me just say it out in my mouth. This $4 a gallon gas that's coming at you. I remember you heard it here first. One of the reasons why, one of the explanations for how well we're doing is based upon how the numbers of poor people are calculated. So we should be asking the question, okay, since it doesn't feel like things are going real well out here economically, tens of thousands of people being laid off from Ford and GM and thousands of people losing their jobs, downsizing, oversizing, outsourcing, all of that, it doesn't feel that way. Shouldn't we be asking the question, well how is it exactly are they measuring poor people, the numbers of poor people, the measurement of poverty, the measurement of economic well-being. Well, we need to have that discussion. My guest of this hour, he will be with us until 9:30, Jared Bernstein, author of a report on poverty, and he is from the Economic Policy Institute. He is joining us from Washington, D.C. Jared, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me.
My pleasure. You did the report on measuring poor. You called it poor measurement, and that the new census report on measuring poverty raises concern.
Right.
Let's start with how they originally measured poverty.
Well, it may surprise some listeners to know that poverty measurement is still based on a method that was developed about 50 years ago. And obviously, living standards and life in America has changed a lot in the past half century, yet the way we measure poverty hasn't changed. Probably cutting right to the bottom line, the measure of poverty for a family of four, say a married couple with a couple of kids, is about $19,000. Now I challenge any couple with a couple of kids to get by in any urban or suburban area of this country. So just that number alone shows you how out of date and really out of whack our poverty measures are.
That's what you have to earn in order to be considered living in poverty.
Your income has to be below that level.
Below 19,000.
A family of four, yeah.
That's outrageous.
Right, and you know what's interesting is that there's almost no one who disagrees with your statement about that being outrageous. I mean, people on both sides of the aisle agree, and the reason why it's so hard to change is that almost any change that you would engage in, and this is just you will intuit this if you think about it for a second, any change you're going to make is going to send that threshold up higher. Since the cost of living is such that for working families to pay for childcare, transportation, housing, these costs mean an income threshold ought to be a good deal higher than $19,000-$20,000 a year. In fact, in our research, we find that families in most cities need more than 30,000 families of that size to make ends meet. So the problem is any presidential administration that comes in and says, you know what, I want to do a better job of measuring poverty, they're going to be looking looking at a higher poverty rate. And how would you like to be president when all of a sudden the poverty rate went from about 12% to 15% on your watch just because of a measurement change?
Well, do it on you. I mean, if they can acquit or if they can pardon people on their way out, they certainly can do this on their way out.
Yeah, well, I won't disagree with that point. But I'm just telling that's why it's a very tough change to make.
But here's explain to us the ramifications of not raising this.
Ah, okay. Now that's a good place to go, because it's not just some sort of academic curiosity. I would say the ramifications are twofold. Maybe the second is most important. First, we just need to know who's poor. I mean, an advanced economy like ours, this is a critical piece of information. You've got economic cheerleaders and policymakers going around the country saying, boy, isn't this economy great, yada, yada. Well, at the same time, we're looking at a poverty rate that's already close to 13%, but if it were appropriately measured, it'd be a couple of points higher than that. We'd have a few million more people in poverty. So one thing we need to know is just who is the growth not reaching? How many and who? How many people, who are they that the overall economic growth that's been, pretty okay in this economy, it's not reaching? The second point, and in some ways this is more important directly relating to living standards of the poor, is that there are many of our policies, our safety net policies, are tied to the poverty threshold. So if you have an income that's above poverty and you're an adult, for example, you can't get Medicaid. So, your income is, quote, too high to get Medicaid or food stamps or housing subsidies in many of these areas. And, that's a critical mistake because these folks obviously have suffer some material deprivation, but because their incomes are below the poverty line, they can't access these services.
Who decides what the poverty level is?
It's the Office of Management and Budget, which is really the president's kind of budget team. In other words, it's the presidential administration that decides what the poverty line should be. Now, the Congress could intervene and certainly pass a law that says here's the new poverty threshold, but at this point, the president could make that change himself.
Now, despite the fact that we haven't had a change in how we measure poverty in 50 years, we're still having reports that are coming out reporting on the state of poverty. And your assessment is that those reports are flawed.
Absolutely. I mean, those reports are based on the threshold we've been talking about. What we show in our report are the various ways the thresholds are wrong. Now, there's kind of two ingredients to figuring out who's poor. One is the calculating the threshold, and I've been arguing that line, that poverty line in the sand below which you're poor, is too low. But there's also a matter of how you count income. One of the things we don't do is we don't count the value of certain government transfers, and we should.
What's that?
In people's incomes. If you get food stamps, your income ought to reflect that. If you get the earned income tax credit, which is can be a fairly hefty wage subsidy for poor people, a great program that helps the poor, that ought to be counted in your income too. And if you take all these changes into account, you come up with a better threshold, and you make the right inclusions in income, you're going to come up with poverty rates that are maybe a point and a half or 2 points higher than the current poverty rate, which is about a little bit below 13% right now. You got about 35 million people poor. Probably have another 4 or 5 million if you counted poverty correctly.
And in terms of what this does in the amounts of resources, this has an impact on the resources that are available if the poverty level is kept below that at this point.
Well, look, if the poverty rate were readjusted to be more realistic, more in sync with actual living standard constraints in today's America, you would be spending billions more dollars on services to reach those that were newly classified as poor. That is a cost we'd absolutely want to consider. On the other hand, we have these programs for a very good reason. These programs are supposed to help counterbalance some of the material deprivation faced by poor people. But if we're not appropriately labeling and counting people as poor, then the programs won't reach them.
And one of the things that you say in your report is the you discuss in your report is the miscalculation of child care. Explain to us how child care is not measured correctly.
Okay, now here we're getting into some of the guts of our report and some perhaps political choices that were made that were, in our view, quite bad choices. The Census Bureau, which has been doing really a tremendous job of trying to implement some of these new ideas I've been speaking to you about regarding better measurement of poverty, for the last, maybe 10 years or so, they've been experimenting with measuring the cost of child care and including that in our poverty measurement. Earlier I said that family budgets for working families ought to incorporate the cost of working. That includes transportation, but it also includes child care, which for a family can easily come to $5,000-$10,000 a year if you're buying decent quality child care, which I think, you know, you ought to because there's a good reason to do so. The Census Bureau has traditionally factored this cost into their experimental measures of poverty. In the last report, they did not do so. They left out the cost of child care.
Huh?
And they had, you know, some silly rationale in the report as to why they didn't do it, but it wasn't convincing at all. This was backsliding, and we tried to point that out.
So what is the impact of not including that in there? What does that do to the overall numbers?
Well, it makes a little bit of a difference. I think it probably reduces the poverty measure by, maybe a couple of tenths of a percent. It's not huge.
But why,
not insignificant either.
But so why wouldn't they do it? If it's not a huge thing, why wouldn't they do it?
Well, you probably have to talk to them. I mean, I think the reason they didn't do it is because their measure is biased downward. They want not the Census Bureau analysts who are good, honest statistical brokers. I mean, it's the political folks making some of the calls said, well, leave that out. That's going to make poverty higher if you put it in. And so I don't know this for a fact, and I don't mean to cast, you know, allegations. I can't think of any other reason why you'd leave that out.
Home equity.
Okay. Home equity is a component of income that sometimes treat as such in this kind of work. So, for example, if you own a home, that makes you wealthier, right? If you're
right.
Renting an apartment, you're churning out, you know, so many dollars of rent per month. If you own a home, that value that you would be renting is really accruing to you. And so including the value of home equity actually will lower the poverty rate. Now, you will note that in our report we point out that they ignored the child care costs, which would have led to higher poverty rates, yet they included home equity as income, and that lowers poverty rates significantly by over a point.
Ah, so
and
doubling, so
yeah,
adding those two together.
The scale. I mean, mm-hmm. They got a big old thumb on the scale, and they didn't used to do that. I mean, that's just a bad practice.
And out-of-pocket medical costs.
Well, out-of-pocket medical costs are an important cost that they've started to put into some of these reports. I don't believe they used it in this one.
Yeah, they said that it was not included in this.
It was not included in this one. Mm-hmm. And once again, just like child care, out-of-pocket medical costs are going to raise, if you include them, they're going to make people look less well off because they're spending money that isn't typically included in the traditional poverty measures.
And also, wouldn't they be able to, Jared, if we started really counting the amount of money that people are spending on medical costs out of pocket, doesn't that also, I mean, that has possibly a double whammy. It makes people poorer, according to the census, but also it shines a light on how messed up the medical industry is and medical care is in this country.
Absolutely. I mean, in past reports where they've done a much better job with this kind of thing, they subtracted these out-of-pocket medical costs, and as I said, they can raise the poverty rate a couple of points, and that's a big story. There is, as you suggest, one of the particularly disturbing trends, along with the fact that 46 million of us are uninsured, The fact is that one of the reasons that uninsurance rate keeps climbing is because employers are less likely to cover their workforces as relative to earlier periods. So as employers push that kind of health care burden onto more onto workers, and insurers at the same time are saying, well, you cover more of your out-of-pocket costs. Well, that's obviously cutting into family income, and it ought to be included appropriately.
And in terms of the frequency that such reports are done, how often does this report come out, Jared?
Well, the official poverty report comes out once a year. This experimental report comes out typically once a year now as well.
So how does this particular report compare with other reports that have come out prior to this? It's
very different. It's a real step backwards. That's really the whole motivator for our doing our piece. The Census Bureau was making real progress because the Census Bureau has had a long history of keeping political fingerprints off their reports, of keeping political thumbs off their scales. Those thumbs are creeping back with this report. These guys and men and women over there are pure analysts trying to do a better job of measuring poverty. They don't have an ideological bone to pick. Or if they do, they keep it out of their work. Here you see, in my view, the fact that so many of these choices tilt one way and one way only towards lower measured poverty, leaving out all the choices that tilt towards higher measured poverty. You exclude out-of-pocket medical costs, you exclude child care, that's going to lower the poverty rate. You add home equity income onto the income side, that's going to lower the poverty rate. So, I'm sorry, did I say that wrong?
Yes, you did.
If you exclude those costs of medical care and child care, that's going to, I did say it right. If you exclude those costs, it's going to lead to lower poverty. If you include them, as you should, poverty rates will be higher. So all the choices they made led to lower poverty measures, and that's not something they used to do.
And also, hasn't this been connected to some fanfare from this administration or some fanfare out there saying that the poverty rate has been reduced?
Well, that's probably some of the fanfare they were trying to get out of this, but it's a pretty tough sell because the poverty rate officially has gone up. And it's gone up every year since 2000. And in fact, it's gone up 102, it went up in 02, 03, and 04. Now, those were all recovery years. 01 was a recession. 2001 was a recession. But 2002 through 04, those 3 years, 02, 03, but those are all recovery years. Yet poverty went up in each recovery year. It's never happened that we had 3 years of a recovery where poverty increased. It's a very pointed example of how the growth that we've created in this economy, and some of that's been pretty good, is failing to reach many families in the bottom part of the income scale.
And to be honest here, when we're looking at these numbers, we're looking at the people that are on the bottom of the bottom.
Oh, that's right. This is really just folks whose average income is, in the $10,000 to $20,000 range. So these are folks who are scrimping by. They suffer considerable material deprivation, and many of them are working. I mean, there are more working poor now than used to be the case, many of these folks try to make a good faith effort to pull themselves out of poverty, but the fact is you have an economy that's just really quite imbalanced. I mean, we really do look good on a number of measures, on GDP growth, on productivity. The unemployment rate overall is pretty low right now. Job growth has been, has been coming back, and it's been percolating along at a pretty good rate. Yet you see the poverty rate going up year after year, and that's a very clear sign that the growth is not being broadly shared or distributed.
And what's the significance of that? What does that tell for our future if it continues along this way?
It tells you that there is a structural imbalance in the economy. Structural means you can't grow your way out of it. You can do all you want to emphasize macroeconomic growth and low interest rates and globalization and low prices and all the plotting you want to generate high productivity growth and low unemployment and great GDP growth. If those numbers are not connected to the living standards, the economic well-being of low-income families and even middle-income families, then you have an economy that is highly unbalanced and very dissatisfying from the perspective of the people in it. Sure, the economy is doing fine. The people in it aren't.
Mm.
And that kind of problem is one that is characteristic of the sort of policy thrust we're into right now. By the way, I wrote a book about this called just coming out right now. It's called All Together Now, Common Sense for a Fair Economy. And it takes you through how the kinds of policies we've been pursuing over the last few years generate these types of problems. And reconnecting the economy to the living standards of working families, middle and low income, has to be one of our top policy goals.
And maybe we can have that conversation at another time. I know that you have to leave us.
Yeah, that'd be my pleasure.
All right. Jared Bernstein, author of a report on poverty from the Economic Policy Institute. Jared, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I'll be back to take your calls and your comments and your questions and your listen to your stuff when we come back. Stay with me.
I'll never try to hurt you. I want you to know that I'm here for you forever true. Cause you're my black brother, strong brother.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. Wednesday morning at 8, we have a hot show planned. It has to do with the recent controversy concerning Georgia Representative Cynthia McKinney. Now, you'd think that the Congressional Black Caucus would have been the first organization to rush to her defense. But no, Chairman Mel Watt is doing all he can to put distance between himself and this issue. Remember when he told Liz on the air it's not fair to judge congresspeople on how they vote on issues? Well, it should be no surprise then how he's reacting, or not reacting. A lively discussion with Liz and journalist Lutitia Stills of BlackCommentator.com Wednesday morning here on The Wake Up Call. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we take our commitment seriously. Our connection to the community is not just providing superior specialty care. Our connection is not just providing world-class urgent care at our Smiley Urgent Care Center. Keeping our connection to the community is something we do every single day. From our free clothes closet for our patients, our breast cancer support group, our nationally recognized celebrity senior program, or the fact that we're home to the Ryan White HIV/AIDS program. Keeping connected to the community matters to ConnectCare. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Vicki Pimentel, inviting you to join me right here on WGNU 920 AM on Friday nights for a little sports talk. We'll drop the gloves, scuffle a bit, and in the end, line up and shake hands. Yeah, right.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in after the 5 o'clock news every Friday for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to, and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage on your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons after the 5 o'clock news on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
The St. Louis Art Museum presents The Scarlet Empress on Friday at 7 p.m. Tickets are $3 for museum members and $5 for non-members, and may be purchased at the door of the auditorium or in advance. For more info or to get your seats early, call 314-655-5299. Movie news to you from WGNU.
Thursday morning at 9 on The Wake Up Call, a new look at an old episode in history that's crying out for justice. Georgia State Representative Tyrone Brooks is spearheading a move to again investigate the lynching of two black couples in Walton County, Georgia in July of 1946. The FBI had named 55 suspects in that case, but no one was ever charged. Brooks says some of those involved are still alive, and he wants the agency to reopen its investigation and bring closure to what is believed to be the last organized racial lynching in America. It's a story you won't want to miss. Thursday morning at 9 with Georgia State Representative Tyrone Brooks on the award-winning Wake Up Call. What you need to know when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake Up Call. Liz Brown.
I want you to know that I'm
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I'm not going to let this go. It's a story of outrage. It's a story of class. It's a story of race. It's a story of crime. It's a story of unearned privilege. It's a story. And it's a story of what happens when people get involved. Dig this. I know that you unless you heard it on our global news report, you didn't hear this story. This rape by this lacrosse team occurred the evening of March 13th to March 14th. For 2 weeks, the administration, the lacrosse team, and the lacrosse coach refused to say anything, even though the news media was reporting that a rape had taken place. On March 25th, okay, a silent demonstration was held in front of the lacrosse field to protest Duke's match against Georgetown. You know what the signs held up said? And they didn't say anything. They just held their signs up. You know what the sign said? Don't be a fan of rapists. Don't be a fan of rapists. That's all they did. That was it. At the game, citizens held a silent vigil. You know what happened? Later that night, they held a candlelight vigil in front of the house at 610 North Buchanan to express support for the victim, a mother of two and a full-time student at one of the historically black colleges, Black North Carolina Central University. She's a student. The very next morning, activists from across the triangle gathered in front of the house, the same house, 610 North Buchanan, and they staged a Carrinzillo wake-up call, not a Liz Brown wake-up call, but a wake-up call that is used by the women in Latin America to publicly shame rapists and batterers. They banged on pots and pans while powerfully chanting for calls for justice and solidarity. Oh, what happened after they did their silent protest at the lacrosse game? Want to know what happened? Duke forfeited the game because they felt the mounting public opposition. They forfeited their game. People were at the game silently holding up signs saying, "Don't be a fan of rapists." Duke forfeited the game in anticipation of public anger. Did you hear that on the news? Did you hear that on the news? This is a story of this woman, the accusations are brutal. A next door neighbor told the paper that he personally witnessed the white men verbally abusing the women with racist slurs as they tried to leave. And check this out. When the victim came to the home, the victim was under the impression that they would be performing for a bachelor party of five men. When they got there, they encountered a drunken lacrosse team party with over 40 men present. The women were immediately subjected to racist and misogynistic slurs. The women became so terrified by this verbal abuse, they tried to leave. That's when the next door neighbor said she heard them out the house calling these women racist names. One of the men in the house came to the car and apologized for the racist abuse. He pleaded for the women to come back inside. Please come back and perform. The victim returned to the house. Once she was inside, she was allegedly pulled into a bathroom by three men, where they subjected her to a brutally violent rape and beating. She was vaginally anally and orally penetrated. She was punched, she was kicked, and nearly strangled by these three men for 30 minutes. She was able to escape from the house. She and the other woman drove to a local supermarket where a security guard called the Durham police around 1:30 on March 14th. Now, I have tried rape cases. I have represented men accused of rape. I have faced prosecutors when I have defended men accused of rape in a courtroom. And one of the arguments that every prosecutor uses in a rape case when there is no physical evidence that is present in the case, to say one way or another, rape cases have been proved for decades without the use of DNA. What do they look at? These are the things that they look at. They look at the credibility of the victim, what her story was, whether her story has changed, and when she told her story. The rape victim that waits 3 weeks or a month to tell about a rape has a difficult time, regardless of whether or not the rape occurred, convincing a jury that she is in fact telling the story because she waited so long. If you wait, why'd you wait that long? It must not have happened. It's a difficult case for a prosecutor to win over a jury with. The victim that goes straight to the police is the victim that is heralded by the prosecutor, because it comes down to your word against his word. Did the victim engage in activity that is consistent with somebody being brutalized? Did she tell, and did she tell right away? Are there physical signs? Are there punch marks? Are there bruise marks? Are there scratches? Are there cuts on her that would be consistent with an act of violence being committed against her? Did she tell the same story every time she was asked to tell the story? That's the evidence that a prosecutor uses to convince a jury that her word is the truth in this. We know this. We know that she told it the night that it happened. The night that she says that it happened. We know that, one. We know that, two. She left her purse behind. She left her shoes behind. She left her makeup behind. She left her wallet behind. She left her phone behind in an effort to get to a payphone to call the police. What is a jury going to look at that? How is a jury going to evaluate that? Was she telling the truth? Well, shoot. Why would a woman leave her purse behind, her wallet behind, her phone behind? If everything was cool, why would she leave that behind? And then we have this. We have the racial component of this, and we have the class component of this. And we also have the actions of this administration, of Duke administration. Why did they deny it? Why did they deny it? Why didn't they say anything about it? What do they know? Because the character of the defendants are going to come into play. And the character of the institution that they are part of is going to come into play. I guarantee you that. I guarantee you that they're going to get on the stand. And they're going to say, they're going to bring their character into play. And you know what I say? In the words of George W. Bush, bring it on. Bring it on. Because that means that the records about what these horrible young men have done in the past will come to light. This. Check it out. On March 31st, Duke received the fifth worst ranking out of 361 colleges in the latest Princeton Review survey, the so-called town relations survey, the interaction between a major academic institution and its surrounding community. In the same survey, Duke was also ranked 6 out of 361. In having little or no interactions between students of different social classes and ethnic groups. Indeed, many students of African descent say that at Duke, the racist treatment from white classmates is fairly common on campus. A graduate student, Danelle Terrazaris Williams, told the Independent Weekly, "This is not a different experience for us here at Duke. We go to class with racist classmates. We go to gym with people who are racist. That's not special for us." Huh. I wonder if the twin boys, whose daddy says that he asked him 10 times 10, did this happen? You think they told him about the frequent use of the word nigger? You think they shared that with him? My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We're taking a break, but that's all right. I'll be back. Stay with me.
All alone, I was lost in a world of strangers. No one.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Miami. A new congressional report indicates the use of sonar by the Navy to monitor submarine activity is likely responsible for half a dozen incidents of mass death and abnormal behavior by pods of whales over the last 10 years. During an exercise in July of 2004 that involved the use of sonar, about 200 melonhead whales were found swimming crazily off the coast of Kauai Island in Hawaii. Other episodes have included porpoises and killer whales found beached and dead in groups from 5 to 20. An examination of them revealed damaged hearing organs, and all of the events took place during or just after naval exercise were conducted in those areas. This situation was magnified just last weekend when over 100 people were hurt after a passenger hydrofoil collided with a whale off the coast of Japan. It is known that the U.S. Navy has been conducting intense surveillance in the Sea of Japan to keep an eye on Chinese military activities. And Dateline Atlanta. The state of Georgia has signed a new law into being which takes some harsh action against undocumented workers. The law is called the Georgia Security and Immigration Act and denies many state services to people who are in the country illegally. It also puts the onus on contractors who have state contracts to verify the legal status of the people they're hiring. It also forces police to let immigration officials know if people picked up for crimes are illegal immigrants. Other provisions include not allowing employers to claim a tax deduction for wages paid to illegals and provides for prison terms on the grounds of human trafficking. Governor Sonny Perdue says the law is important to make sure that the legendary Southern hospitality does not get taken advantage of by people who are not entitled to receive it. This is your wake-up call global news update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. Thursday morning at 9 on the wake-up call, a new look at an old episode in history that's crying out for justice. Georgia State Representative Tyrone Brooks is spearheading a move to again investigate the lynching of two black couples in Walton County, Georgia in July of 1946. The FBI had named 55 suspects in that case, but no one was ever charged. Brooks says some of those involved are still alive, and he wants the agency to reopen its investigation and bring closure to what is believed to be the last organized racial lynching in America. It's a story you won't want to miss. Thursday morning at 9 with Georgia State Representative Tyrone Brooks on the award-winning Wake Up Call. Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub.
If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare. Still connected to the community.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
If you like handmade arts and crafts, you'll love the St. Clair Arts and Crafts Fair. Come on out to St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights, Friday, April 21st through Sunday, April 23rd. Stroll through the aisles. Discover fine handcrafted jewelry, framed works of art, clothing, quilts, candles, gourmet snacks, home decor, and so much more. Delightful and unusual gifts all in one place, all in one stop. Register to win one of dozens of prizes to be given away throughout the weekend, including a $1,000 online shopping spree from MyFreeGifts.com. It's one of the first craft events of the year and one of the easiest ways to see and buy from many of the area's finest artisans and crafters. All this from 10 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Friday and Saturday, April 21st and 22nd, and noon to 6 Sunday, April 23rd. The St. Clair Arts and Crafts Fair, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights, sponsored by Night Magic Entertainment and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more information at spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in weekday afternoons from 2 till 5 on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's take on the day together.
Wednesday morning at 8, we have a hot show planned. It has to do with the recent controversy concerning Georgia Representative Cynthia McKinney. Now, you'd think that the Congressional Black Caucus would have been the first organization to rush to her defense. But no, Chairman Mel Watt is doing all he can to put distance between himself and this issue. Remember when he told Liz on the air it's not fair to judge congresspeople on how they vote on issues? Well, it should be no surprise then how he's reacting, or not reacting. A lively discussion with Liz and journalist Lutitia Stills of BlackCommentator.com Wednesday morning here on The Wake Up Call. A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Time has come today. Your cards can't go that way. Can't put it on another day. I don't care what others say. They think we don't listen anyway. Time has come today.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up and get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Hello, Miss Brown.
Good morning, Elton.
Thank you for Belton. Thank you for taking my call. I was talking about the Duke University.
Turn your radio down in the background, please, Belton.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
You hear me now?
Turn your radio all the way down, please.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
We're talking about the Duke University, the case with the young lady, you know, claimed about what happened to her. I kind of believe the lady, because they had a chance to cover up some of that stuff for somebody to go in there and investigate it. And that's just about the way some of the things they do, a college like that, like a good old boys club, and that daddy saying he believe his son. He
asked. Isn't that something?
Yeah. I believe my son, and my son won't lie to me. I believe him because he said he didn't do it. And so they taking his son. It's a good old boys club, and boys will be boys, and they got a lot of money to do what they think they want to get away with it by the law, you know, but let the law, you know, defend the young lady. I attempt to bleed her more, because why she would leave her stuff there and let you turn free for her life and everything like that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a story of race. It's a story of class. It's a story of sexism. It's a story of unearned white privilege. It's a story of a bunker mentality from a university that has done nothing to engage the community outside of itself. It's awful.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Belton. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Yeah, I was listening to some generals who they're kind of defending Rummy. They're on NPR, I think, right now. And that one of them said that of all those people that we arrested in Iraq after we invaded, 90% of them were innocent.
And that's good news, right?
Well, I don't know. I mean, he was sort of defending Rummy. He was saying, well, these other generals, they shouldn't speak out against them.
Because?
Because what was the reason?
Help me with that.
I don't know. They're not supposed to for some reason. I don't know, because it's un-American or unpatriotic. I'm not exactly sure. They were just disappointed. They felt, you know, the general should have spoke out sooner, which, yeah, I guess they should have. But
Well, that's the criticism, that because you didn't speak out sooner, then you're not supposed to say anything. When it's, I guess I should have thrown the rope earlier to save that drowning person, but now that I didn't throw it earlier, I'm not going to throw it at all?
Yeah, that's kind of what they're saying.
Okie dokie.
Yeah, and they're kind of saying, I don't know, that, yeah, there were mistakes made, but it wasn't
no harm, no foul.
Rummy's fault, you know. Blame others. I mean, the Republicans they tell black people not to blame others, and they're blaming others all over the place, so, you know.
Thanks.
And they're throwing slime on these whistleblower generals.
Mm. Thank you so much, Scott. 454-0400 is my phone number. Gary.
Yes, Liz. As a lawyer, I'm wondering, now, I really think these young men are guilty, but if there's only circumstantial evidence, as a lawyer, you would have to agree, like with O.J., when you have a guilty man, but there's not enough evidence, they're going to be found innocent.
Well, you've asked two different questions, but you don't realize that you've asked two different questions. One thing, first of all, with regard to the issue of circumstantial evidence is just as valid of evidence as a hardcore evidence, specific physical evidence. Circumstantial.
Prediction?
Yeah, absolutely, Gary. People
Where
are.
Where did you go to school?
I went to one of the best law schools in the nation, St. Louis University.
Did you teach?
No, it didn't have to do what you do. So
okay.
I just don't assume that other people do what you do, okay?
Evidence you convict.
People are convicted every day on circumstantial evidence.
Go back.
Beg your pardon?
You better go back to school.
Have you been to law school, darling?
No.
Okay, well then there you go. There you go. First of all, I'm gonna address the insane analogy that you made in your absence. Because you're too incapable of digesting this. Circumstantial evidence put folks on death row every single day of the week. Circumstantial evidence is just as admissible into a court of law as any other type of evidence. What happens is that sometimes circumstantial evidence is not enough because people will argue that there's reasonable doubt. That there is not enough evidence. Circumstantial evidence can't. Physical evidence. Sometimes people have physical evidence in front of them, but because of how it was gathered and it was corrupted, people don't believe the physical evidence. Jurors have the right to accept or reject any kind of evidence. And make their decision in the absence of or in the presence of evidence. So, with regard to O.J. Simpson, the jury looked at the evidence And they said that that was not enough evidence to convince them beyond a reasonable doubt that O.J. Simpson committed this murder. It happens every single day in the criminal justice system. Circumstantial evidence has convicted many of people. Many of people. And in a court of law, it is absolutely admissible. That's why you go to law school, to learn how the law works and to learn what is admissible. That's why you try cases. That's why you're good at it, when you know all the rules, like I am. Peter? Guess not. Liz Brown, wake up call. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Until then, stay strong.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Radio City, St. Louis.